now.
WildTalkRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
This is WWE superstar, The Miz.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening to The Rock the Star.
Stratus action is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rock.
Since I have been on this earth, I have done a lot of horrible things to a lot of good people. And I'm man enough to admit when I am in the wrong. And I was wrong about you, Brian. I viewed you as this minuscule little creature chasing this uphill war that you could never win. I saw you busy chasing your little girly friend around on television, buying a diamond. How long are you willing to live this life? How long until they discover that your dirty little feet are soiling their red carpet?
Covering all the latest in the WWE.
Oh, did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
And TNA.
Being a scientist is really starting to pay off. A lot of people don't know about that, but being a scientist and being a pro wrestler at the same time, hypothesis, conclusion, same thing. He's the best, and I'm getting to the bottom of it. I'm like Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes was half detective, half scientist. He's science to figure out cases. Maybe when I get done with pro wrestling, I can be like new Sherlock Holmes, but in real life, where I solve cases using my science.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane, MemLanePromo.com, for all your memorabilia needs. I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my ever kooky, ever crazy producer, Sir Rockin.
Ever kooky, ever crazy. I can live with that. Hi, everybody. What's going on? It's a fun shoot.
It's a fun show, it's a crazy show, it's a jam-packed show. We have so much to get into, we couldn't even come up with a question of the night last night.
No, we couldn't. That's how jam-packed this show is. We don't even have time for it.
So it's a rack first, y'all. There is no question of the night. So we've got news, we have the Elimination Chamber we've got to talk about, we are of course going to talk about tonight's debut of NXT on the WWE Network, which we're also getting into, NXT Arrival. We've got so much to talk about there. And, of course, you know, we can't leave TNA out.
No.
We just can't do it. So, as a little treat, our good friend Mark and TNA graciously granted us an interview with the one, the only, the ring general, Christopher Daniels. So, we'll bringing you him later in the show as well. And he was a lot of fun to talk to.
Oh, Mr. Daniels is a lot of fun. Lots of fun. And we sort of get to the bottom of the hatred, sort of between him and Curryman?
Yeah, we talked Curryman with Christopher Daniels. Yeah.
So, you have a lot to be prepared for coming up in just a little while.
Absolutely. But first, you know, we got to get into the news, which, of course, brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com. Go there for all your news needs. And we've got a little bit of news. Most of it is WWE Network. I'm just warning everybody now, this is a very WWE-heavy show, but that's okay, because next week will be very TNA-heavy, so...
We're balancing things out.
Just be prepared for that.
We're balancing things out. TNA one week, get WWE one week, TNA the next, you know. We're very balanced people on this show.
Yeah, balance, that's a joke. So, anyway, going into the news, TNA announced that over the weekend, they crowned brand new tag team champions. So, big congratulations to the Wolves. They captured the tag team championship belts from the Bromans, I believe, in West Virginia.
I believe that is correct.
So, a big congratulations to them. We will see their debut in TV in a couple weeks after the pre-tapes are all wrapped up. So
actually, they did announce on TV that they are the tag team champions.
Well, good for them. So
the only few minutes of the show I did catch already, they did announce them as the tag team champions.
See, I didn't even see that part.
I started at the beginning.
I haven't watched Impact yet. I caught the very, very tail end of Impact, mm-hmm. and that's all I saw. So at least they announced it on TV, and we will definitely see the Wolves at Lockdown, which we'll get into next week. So, once again, a big congratulations to them.
Yes, big congratulations to them. You can check out their win on TNA's YouTube channel at youtube.com/ImpactWrestling under the Impact 365 section, because that's where they have the video of the title win.
Yes. Also announced, which was a little shocking, was Jake the Snake, future WWE Hall of Famer, announced he had cancer.
Aww.
And he announced via, I guess, Twitter that he had a growth on the back of his knee that he had to have emergency surgery on to have it removed. Mm-hmm. And he has since had the surgery. However, the doctors don't know yet whether it's going to be okay or not, because obviously they have to let it heal up a little bit before they proceed. So best of luck to Jake.
Yeah, they're gonna test it and all that fun stuff that comes with cancer treatment and see if he's clean, if it's, you know, if it's spread or if they got it in its entirety. So we'll see. But so best of luck to Jake in his recovery, and hopefully it's a speedy one.
Yes, absolutely.
Speaking of Jake the Snake, it has apparently been announced that Diamond Dallas Page will be the inductor at the WWE Hall of Fame for Jake Roberts.
That's awesome. Honestly, I'm really not surprised by that, given their relationship, especially as DDP has helped Jake so much in the last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm not really surprised.
I think we were all expecting this, which, you know what? It's well-deserved.
Yeah, that one was a well-deserved one, so congratulations to Mr. Roberts.
Absolutely, Mr. Roberts and DDP. I am very much looking forward to that speech, because God only knows what DDP will say.
He probably has some stories.
Oh my God, I can only imagine. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, we should also note before we jump fully into the network talk that, you know, unlike Dish Network, which we talked about last week, Comcast has elected to continue to carry WWE pay-per-views for the foreseeable future, which is a good call by Comcast. I don't think DirecTV has made an announcement either way yet, but as of this broadcast, Dish is out, Comcast is in, and Direct is undecided. So, good on Comcast for continuing to carry the pay-per-views.
Yeah, good on Comcast. It's a nice start for them. And they're going to need a backup way to watch pay-per-view.
Yeah. Yeah, so something of, if all three dropped the pay-per-views, that would be a little disturbing, because then it's like, well, you can only see them on the network or on WWE.com, which there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. We'll get into the WWE here in a second. But yeah, cool Comcast that they should, because, well, they're the leader in cable markets, so it's a good thing for WWE.
Absolutely. So, do we just want to jump right into the network? And
we might as well jump right into it. Lead the way.
All right. Well, for those of you that live under a rock and don't, you know, aren't on the IWC, which there are some of you out there who don't know what's going on, but, you know, obviously you still watch programming, the WWE Network, it launched on Monday at 9 a.m., which was a change from the original 11:05 announced time.
Yes, it actually went live, because they originally said you could just sign up at 9 and there would be no programming, and then it was just going to be the on-demand programming. And then they said, oh, when they release the schedule, as we read on air, 9 o'clock, live programming begins.
Yes, so everybody immediately woke up Monday morning at 9 a.m. They jumped online, they jumped on WWE.com, and they ordered the network. They actually killed the third-party payment servers there for a little bit, which was kind of funny to see all the reactions to that. And just to note, it actually was not WWE, it was not MLB that were having the problem. If you actually paid attention to the website, it was the third-party payment vendor that had the problem.
Right,
so,
right. So it's partial MLB, but mainly it was a third-party vendor that MLB AM uses. So that's sort of where the problem lied, because I know I had a little bit of issues signing up. It took me, I guess, an hour and a half to finally get through the full process.
See, for me, it didn't take that long. Maybe I went in a lull. I don't know, but because I went in the first hour that it was open. I didn't sign up right at 9, but I started trying to sign up at about 9:15, and it only took me about 45 minutes to actually get my information into the website by letting it load. I should just note, Java is a really, 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 really uber, really poor choice for payment form. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I went, but like, I tried, it did take me a full 90 minutes. I did try, and I tried a few times, and it just wasn't working, so I gave it a little bit, tried again, it started to pick up a little bit, and then it finally took it through, and it's like, even when I signed up, there was an error, but it said, oh, and I refreshed it, and it's like, oh, there's the network. It came through, and then I got 20 minutes later, bing, bam, boom, you're now a member of the, you now have the WWE Network. Sweet.
Yeah, it was, I remember it was just like, you know, because I just left it up because I was getting ready to go to school. So it was something of, it's like, bring the page up, let it process, okay, well, it timed out, refresh. And then it's like the box to put your address came in, okay, then it timed out, refresh. And the box to put your payment information came up, all right, put it in there, timed out, refresh. And then it was something of, I was finally able to get it to process at some point, or at least I thought it had processed. I wasn't sure. I figured it had when the network actually started working for me. Mm-hmm. And then about 2 hours later, I actually got an email from WWE confirming that the payment had gone through. So, and they even noted on their website that, you know, they were experiencing an extremely high amount of traffic and that it was going to take a while to process all the payments and just for everybody to chill.
Yeah, that's sort of when I saw the notice. Like, okay, because I woke up, I checked Twitter, and you always get a nice barometer when you check Twitter. Like, got the network, didn't it? It's slow. So it's like, I'm going to just take my time, see what happens.
Yeah. So, I mean, that, and honestly, that was the most frustrating and hardest part about getting the network was actually signing up for it, because obviously everybody hit the servers at once, which that's a great sign for WWE.
Yeah, reported numbers, and there were over 200,000 buys on the first day.
That's fantastic. I mean, that's great to hear.
That's good news. It's a nice start for the network, and you don't know where the process stopped or whatever, but I know it was around 200,000 before a certain period of time on Monday. So
yeah, that's phenomenal to hear. And then it's like once you got on the network, it was really, really cool because the first thing you see is a welcome message from Vince McMahon on the live stream, and then you get one from Triple H, which was just a nice little touch that I really enjoyed, and then it's like the content started, and the live stream has been nothing short of flawless.
Well,
I said nothing short of. Tonight they had a little bit of an issue, but we'll get into that.
Tonight was the first major hiccup with it, but beyond that, let's say, yeah, once you got the live stream on, it rocked and rolled.
Yeah, I mean, the live stream has worked wonderfully. There hasn't been much of a problem with it. There has been a little bit more of an issue with the on-demand content, where not all of it has been available, or people have been having problems with it. I know I've experienced the buffering issue last night. We actually were kind of sitting here prepping the show, and it's like, oh, well, let's turn on the WWE Network and let's watch something. And we couldn't figure out what, you know, we kept trying to find something to watch, and we couldn't find something. And finally, we just ended up watching Royal Rumble 2013, because that's what was on the live stream. So it's like, well, you know, that works.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, no, you got that wrong. The first night we tried it, it was Tuesday night.
Oh, that's right. It was Tuesday night, and because we wanted to watch Countdown, and so we just ended up leaving whatever was on.
We watched WrestleMania Rewind. That's what we watched first. Because we were trying to find a Raw or a SmackDown or a pay-per-view, something to watch, but nothing sort of. We both couldn't get the same thing working at the same time, so it's like, okay, let's watch the live stream, and it came up with the WrestleMania 1, WrestleMania Rewind, which Lindsay's never seen WrestleMania 1, and I've never seen the show in full, but I've seen the match they showed, which was Piper and Orndorff versus Mr. T and Hogan. That's Lindsay's first time actually seeing the match.
Yeah.
Tell me your thoughts on the match.
It's like I told you when we were watching the stream. It's really cool because you see where WWE was, and you can actually kind of see where they're going to go, because it's really that infancy of sports entertainment where it all began, and you can see that, you know, the definite deep roots of wrestling and the tradition of the territories and everything's still there, but there's more showmanship. It's more flashy. It's like you have, you know, Mr. T and Hogan there. You have Piper and Orndorff and Orton there. You have, you know, Cyndi Lauper was involved, and, you know, all this stuff, and Liberace with the showgirls. Liberace was just having the greatest time ever. But yeah, I mean, it was really cool to see that in full, with everything involved, and just to see where WWE kind of started with that and compare it to what WrestleMania is now, which it's night and day mm-hmm. in comparison. I mean, there is really no comparison to where they started to where they are now. And so it was really cool to see, because you can kind of sort of now track that progression with the network. And for me, who's a little bit of a history buff and who missed a lot of the WWE history because I started watching in 2000, you know, I haven't been around as long as some people. I haven't watched it since I was 5. So it's cool for me to be able to now go back with the network and be able to watch those Raws and those SmackDowns and those Nitros eventually, to watch all those old pay-per-views and see really all those moments and see them in the context that they happened. Not necessarily where, you know, you just see it as in a moment, but you don't really know what led to it.
Right, and that was what was very cool with the WrestleMania Rewind program, where they do the first half hour of the show was a recap of everything that led to WrestleMania 1 and that led to the big match and led to the involvement with Cyndi Lauper on the pay-per-view and then how they got Liberace where Mean Gene was invited up to his room.
Yeah, Mean Gene, that was a no. That was just a no.
But we got to see it all, and it was narrated by Pat Summerall, former NFL broadcaster who passed away last year, so you can see how long they've been having working on this program. His voice was really added to the program, which was a very nice touch. I enjoyed that a lot. But yeah, it was a very nice touch watching WrestleMania Rewind for WrestleMania 1. And they're going to do more of them. I believe the next one is Andre and Hogan. So that'll be cool to see.
That will be cool to see. And then we watched WWE Countdown, which was hilarious. Everybody doing the impressions and everybody taking shots at everybody was just phenomenal.
Yeah, they did impressions of The Undertaker. They did impressions of more so not an impression for the next one, but they did impressions of The Rock as well. But the conversation about Suck It.
Oh my god, that was amazing.
When you get the WWE Network, if you haven't seen it already, it's probably available on the on-demand thing, which I want to get into on-demand in a second. But, yeah, that is one of those moments, like, you think, okay, WrestleMania, what can they do for the WWE Countdown? And then they have all the talent talking about, you know, the suck it chant, or the catchphrase.
And then the catchphrases.
Then you have Seth Rollins, you're either preparing to suck it, or if you already sucked it, it's like, PG, no, what? Out the window with Seth Rollins, it was tremendous.
Seth Rollins and his logic is just kind of special.
Yeah.
I mean, it just really was. And he's like, I think I mentally told several people to suck it. Several of my teachers to suck it. It was like, oh, Seth.
And then, then you had Brie Bella at the beginning. She was so excited to say suck it.
Right.
And then AJ was totally against it because that's not proper. And then she just can't stop it.
But you can't stop her from doing it.
Yeah, just can't stop her from doing it, yeah.
It was great. It was absolutely phenomenal. I'm looking forward to seeing more of that show.
Yeah, in regards to The Other Man, the first day was a pain, but that was to be expected. But as the days have gone on The Man has worked a lot better.
Yeah, they've been making efforts to do patching overnight and to kind of bring everything up to snuff and up to date. And you can tell that their main focus when they launched was the live feed and making sure that the live feed could handle a high amount of traffic at all times.
Right.
But especially on the first day, and that delivered. The on-demand content is, you know, okay, it's having some trouble. That's to be expected. Not everything is going to run flawlessly. So it's, you know, I didn't have a problem on the first day. I shouldn't say that. My only real issue was I couldn't skip, but that was just on my phone.
Right.
I could do it on my computer, and I didn't try it on my tablet because my tablet's battery was dead. But I did try it on the computer, and it worked fine on my computer. So it was like, oh, it just must be my phone.
Yeah, computer has worked the best in terms of the on-demand. But now I can actually watch stuff on my iPad where it's like I can actually skip through stuff, and it's actually working really, really well. I can click on anything, and it goes right to it. It's not buffering anymore. It goes right to it, which is very nice. So we're going to be – Lindsay and I are probably going to be watching a lot more stuff in the coming days ahead.
Well, one thing I really liked on the on-demand service, and they haven't done it for all of the pay-per-views, but they've done it on a couple that I've watched, and I think they're as they're loading the content in, it's going to start doing this more, is it, like, for example, I watched the Survivor Series pay-per-view with the Wyatts. Of course, the first thing I watch on the network is the Wyatts, you know. Had to. So.
Right. Surprised you didn't go
not
back.
Not Taker.
Oh, it reminds me. I gotta get you watching something another one. Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
So, but it's like when you pull up the pay-per-view, they have these. It's kind of like a DVD where they have these chapters, but it's moments in the pay-per-view that if you want to find a specific moment in the pay-per-view that you really want to watch, they have these little buttons that you can click that let you skip right to that moment. So. You know, for example, I really wanted to watch the Wyatt match from Survivor Series. So it's like, you know, you go through all the buttons and there it is, you know, the Wyatt family versus Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, I believe, was the match.
Right.
And so it's, you know, it's right there and you just click on the button and it took it a second, but it skipped right to that moment. So I could see that match if I wanted to. And I really like that feature because it's not just you're sitting there trying to remember where it was in the pay-per-view and you're clicking through the feed trying to find it. It's, hey, here it is, right here. Mm-hmm. Just click. That was really cool.
Right. And another feature that I like about the live feed is if you come in late to a program, you can move your finger backwards and rewind to the beginning of a program.
Right.
So, and if you, like, pause it, it keeps the pause. If you go out of the application, you come back to it, and you're watching the live feed, it stops where you last, you know, it holds it for a few minutes where you were. If you click out of it and you come back to it an hour later, it won't be there. But if you, like, switch between applications for a minute, it keeps your spot, which is cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, that's very nice. That's a great feature because, you know, sometimes some tablets you just can't hold it. But, I mean... Overall, I'd have to give the network 2 thumbs up. I mean, what do you have to say?
Yeah. It has blown me away. The only issue was tonight. It wasn't just me. It was a lot of people who had the issue where the network feed went down, like completely down. It stuttered and went kaput during one of the moments during the pay-per-view tonight, or a live event, whatever you want to call it. That was to be expected, and now they know. They now know what happened.
I don't think it was a connection, or I don't think it was too many people hitting the feed. I think it was just somebody probably hit the wrong button.
I don't know. It was a selection. It was a lot of people. I don't know. You don't know what it was. You don't know what the issue was. They probably know what it was, and now they know. We kind of clear that up really quick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely before WrestleMania. But it was something of, I wasn't affected by it. I didn't have a problem the entire night. It was crystal clear for me the whole time. So.
But speaking of it, the network itself is clear.
Oh, the quality on the network is beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. I mean, I've tested it on 3 devices, and the lowest quality is on my tablet, and that's just because the video in my tablet is just not that good. But it's like, I have an iPhone, it is stunning on my iPhone, it's stunning on my computer, and I love that you get a nice big screen, that you can go full screen with it if you want, and the quality doesn't suffer.
No. I was watching the NXT pay-per-view. What do you call it, pay-per-view? The NXT arrival tonight on the computer full screen. It was like, holy crap, that's awesome. I can't get it on the Xbox yet. No one can. That's coming. Apparently, they're working hard to try to find a fix for that. And it should be here. It should be done next couple days, I assume. Who knows?
But, yeah, I would expect they get that fixed because they're having a problem. And some of the problems are also with the Windows plugins, too. On the computers, that it's not quite working right for Windows. So, and I mean, again, they can't test everything.
Right, and it's something where it might work originally, but when you convert it onto their server, the different server, it changes. So you have to fix it. So that's what they're in the process of working out all the kinks and all the bugs.
Right, but I mean, overall, 2 thumbs up on the service. It's been absolutely wonderful. Very few problems with it, and it's something of, oh, you know, well, if this doesn't work, well, I can always come back to it later, or there's the live feed. Or, you know what, I can turn it off. But it's something of, I mean, dollars for donuts, this is definitely worth the money to me.
It's $10. It's $10. It's not $10. It's not that expensive per month. It's worth it. You get a lot of content, and they're going to be adding content as the network grows and grows and grows and grows. And, yeah, I'm enjoying it. Because we sit here and we talk at night, and we especially when we show prep stuff, and it's like, it's the perfect thing to keep us entertained as we're talking. And then we've done it twice now, where we've sat here and watched the network, and we've enjoyed it.
I mean, it's something of, it's great because, at least for my job, it gives me something to listen to. I don't sit there and watch it at work, but I experimented with it on my phone, like I said, and I just had it on. And I had my phone in my pocket, I wasn't watching it, but it gave me something to listen to at work. And that's the great thing about it, is I can sit there, and it's like, for example, it was Legends of Roundtable that was on. And I love that particular show. If WWE is listening, please make more of those. They're amazing. Mm-hmm. But it's great because you just have a bunch of guys sitting around telling stories. And it's a nice thing to listen to because it helps pass the time. So if nothing else, it's great to have just kind of in the background to listen to when you're working on something.
Oh, it is. Trust me, it is. I sit here working on a computer. It's like great background noise. It's like, it's awesome. Hell, they even had a tweet came around on the screen last night. This is great background noise. It was like, that was an awesome tweet.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like I said, not everybody's going to like it. Not everybody's going to rant and rave about it like we are. You know, it's something of, some people don't care for it. Some people don't want it, and that's perfectly fine. But if you're interested in buying the network, I would definitely check it out. To me, it's worth the money, because if nothing else, you get the pay-per-views for $10 a month. You get a crystal clear feed, and it's just amazing.
It is, and I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying every part of it. And the more you get it, it's like, it's cool. One thing I can do without is seeing Buddy Rose basically only wearing underwear. I'm tired of the Fat Burner commercial.
Yeah. Can you read the Fat Burner commercial, please? Pretty please.
Cherry on top,
no,
please.
No offense to Buddy Rose, but please, can we not show that anymore?
I will say this. They have something called the best of the worst. The first one I saw was the Kennel from Hell.
Yes. That was amazing. I love the fact that they can mock themselves on the network.
Uh-huh.
It's genius. I also love the little bumpers that they have and the commercials, mm-hmm. where they have basically, they got all the superstars together and they had them cut like a little, you know, 30-second or whatever, little blip for the network in between shows. And then they have the little bumpers where the superstars pop up and, you know, knock an advertisement away or whatever. So it's really cleverly done. You can tell that when they were putting all this together, that it originally was supposed to be for TV because everything is very high quality, which you would expect from WWE. But it's like you can tell that the shows that have been in the canon a while, they were originally produced for a television format, and they've since been converted for digital. But even the digital content has a very high quality to it, which is great.
Right.
I mean, it's I don't mean to say this mockingly, but it's extremely professional. It looks like it could go on TV at any time, and that's great.
Right.
So, you know, like I said, if you're curious about the network, if you're not sure about it, I would at least give it a try. To me, it's worth the money.
I'm behind her. It's totally worth the money.
And, you know, as far as everybody complaining that this or that isn't on the network, give it time. They have a lot of stuff.
They got hours and hours, hundreds of hours, 100,000 hours to get on this network at some point.
Yeah,
and we have 1,000 or 1,500, and they have over 100,000.
Yeah, just, you know, pointing that out. Give them time. You know, there's only so much server space.
Yeah.
Just pointing that out. So, on that note, because I think we've talked ourselves out at this point regarding the network, why don't we take our first break?
Let's do that, because when we come back, Lindsay, we're going to be joined by a special someone.
We are going to be joined by a special someone. We are going to be joined by the Ring General himself, Mr. Christopher Daniels. So y'all don't want to miss that. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gift bang or something. That's no gangbang. Maybe the world needs fans. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird. Wow. Comes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? It's just weirder and weirder. Oh,
I thought the people were going to be showing at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
That's the horse you have, that's the horse
you have. Gundam style. Gundam style. Gundam style.
Oh, not the pelvic thrust.
Is that Mr. Sulu in the sky?
Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't want to be.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I heard this on the show. Wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Hey, what's up? This is Kaz. I'm great. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We are super excited because joining us on the phone right now is one of our most favorite guests ever. He is one half of the Bad Influence, the best-looking man in TNA, and of course, the master of the Appletini, the ring general himself, Mr. Christopher Daniels. How are you today?
I'm thrilled to be a part of it all. Thanks for having me, and thanks for that nice introduction.
Well, you are one of our most favorite people to talk to, and love having you on the show.
Awesome.
I have to know, lockdown is coming up on March 9th in Miami, Florida. Are you excited for it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always excited for TNA pay-per-views, and this one's no different. But there's a special sort of excitement because I'm not quite sure what I'm doing yet. I know I'm going to be part of the show, but with all of the hubbub going on with Bobby Roode and Dixon Carter and MVP, you know, the obvious choice would be having my main man Francois and myself as Bad Influence being part of Team Roode, but, you know, Bobby right now seems to have had his confidence in that shaken for some reason, so we're still debating whether or not we're going to be part of Team Roode at Lethal Lockdown, so we'll find out. Hopefully soon.
Well, I hope so. I mean, we, at least everybody here on the Law Talk Network, we want to see you as part of Team Roode. No matter what happens,
the most entertaining part of the show is going to be the Secretary of Offense, Frankie Kazarian, and the man with the rear that makes the women cheer, Christopher Daniels. No matter what we do, it doesn't matter who we're wrestling, it's possible that we might just be, standing on the rings, on the ramp, watching the show, waving to people as it happens. It doesn't matter. Whatever happens, we're going to be the most entertaining part of the show, so you can take that to the bank, if you like.
Absolutely. And I fully believe that, 100%. I know I'm going to watch the pay-per-view just for you guys anyway, so...
Awesome.
You brought up the recent changes in TNA. What are your thoughts on MVP coming in?
Well, I think this is a great time to be a TNA fan, because when you see guys like MVP come to TNA, when you see guys like Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards entering TNA, you just got to be happy with the possibilities, the unseen matchups that before haven't been seen. You're going to get a chance to see them. Not too long ago, Bad Influence and the Wolves had their first match on television. I told everybody after the fact on Twitter that that wasn't going to be a one and done. I'm sure there's going to be more opportunities for us to try our best against Davey and Eddie. And, you know, the winner of that match is definitely going to be the fan. They're going to be watching some of the best tag team wrestling in the world when Frankie and myself get our hands on Davey and Eddie once again. And now that they're the world tag team champions, I foresee gold in our future once again.
Well, I certainly hope that there's gold in your future, because we're still banging on those championship suspenders. And we always cry conspiracy every time you guys lose, because it seems like the powers that be are just pretty much trying to keep those titles away from you.
Well, I mean, you've seen the last couple times that we even had an opportunity to wrestle for the belt. It wasn't like one-on-one, or one team versus one team. It was three teams involved, four teams involved. We had to go through a gauntlet to even get involved at Bound for Glory. You could see how that worked out for us. I mean, they've stacked the odds against us because they know one-on-one, two-on-two, we're the most dominant team, the best tag team in the business, and they understand this. So, you know, the powers that be, the people that want the championships around other people's waist, They don't want them around our delicious waist. If they did, all they had to do was sign a match with us as the challengers.
So now that the Wolves have the tag team titles, do you maybe foresee possibly getting a match with them at Lockdown?
It's very possible. I'm not sure. I was under the impression that because MVP brought in the Wolves and he was going to handpick them to be part of his team, but now that they're the World Tag Team Champions, it's very possible that he, as an investor, may ask them to defend the titles at Lockdown because he knows, as the investor, that the money match is the Wolves versus that influence. So he may want more buys at that pay-per-view. He knows that the world would go nuts if that was the match at Lockdown, so maybe that's the plan. You'd have to ask MVP. When's he coming on? Is he right on after me?
No. You know, we just wanted you because you're awesome.
I understand. Well, following me anyway, so I understand.
Absolutely. You know, so there's nothing we can do about that. You're just too awesome for words. So, you know, going back to the recent changes, do you feel maybe that TNA is now heading in that right direction? Because you said that it's an exciting time to be a fan, and it absolutely is. So do you feel that maybe TNA is moving forward with their new direction, or do you think that it's not quite the plan?
Well, no, I absolutely think TNA is moving in the right direction. I feel like, you know, we've been on a roll ever since we came back from the UK. You know, all the television that we've been doing, the stuff that we taped overseas went very well so far. It's still going very well. And, you know, it's onwards and upwards as far as I'm concerned for TNA, especially with that influence still in the fold. Like I said, we're the most entertaining part of this roster. And so as long as we're doing that dance down the aisle, you can be assured that TNA is the television show to watch.
Oh, absolutely. And can you kind of describe what the environment was, speaking of the European tour, to do your first live show from Glasgow, Scotland?
Well, it was a very difficult tour in the sense that logistically we were traveling a lot. You know, we spent very little downtime. We arrived in Dublin. We had the show the next day. And then the day after that, we flew right to Scotland and went right from the airport to the building. We did our show in Glasgow. And then the next day, that night, we drove from Glasgow, Scotland to Manchester, England. And
oh, wow.
Spent many hours on the bus, got in late, got up early the next day to go to Manchester and do the show. Then we drove to London to do Wembley. So, I mean, we spent a lot of time on the bus. It was a lot of traveling to get from place to place to get those five shows done in 5 days. But, you know, the good thing about it was we were all together and, you know, we definitely, as a team, put out some great television. We had some great shows and we had a great response from the UK crowd, which is always one of our most ardent support groups, the UK fans.
I have to compliment you guys because those shows overseas are such a pleasure to watch, as there is a real buzz in the air when watching those shows.
Absolutely. Every time we go over there, there are some of the most enthusiastic fans that we wrestle in front of, and the chance for us to go and do TV in front of them again, like we did last year, it definitely adds to the presentation of our product. And so I feel like that's always been a highlight for our year, is going over there and doing the UK tour.
Now, I hear you are headed over to Japan for a few days.
Absolutely. We're going over for Wrestle 1. We leave Friday. The show is March 2nd. And Bad Influence has been announced to be grappling against Minoru Tanaka and Koji Kanemoto, two of the greatest junior heavyweights in all of Japanese wrestling history. So it's going to be one of the best matches on the show, I assure you.
I don't doubt it one bit. Are you excited to go?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think this is going to be a great a team-building experience in terms of the rapport between ourselves, TNA, and Wrestle 1. You know, this company, Wrestle 1, that the great Muda is currently involved in, it's sort of a newer federation. And I think with TNA sort of lending a hand and coming over there and having this TNA versus Wrestle 1 show, I think there's going to be a lot of interest in the matches. Magnus defending his title against one of the top Japanese stars over there at this time, Kai. Austin Aries defending against Sonata. You know, Davey and Eddie defending against Kaz Hayashi and Tsuji Kondo. It's just going to be full of great matches and some great wrestling. And I'm always excited to go over to Japan. I feel like if you can succeed in Japan, you certainly made it as a professional wrestler, and that was always something that I enjoyed going over there and testing my metal against the Japanese contingent.
Do you have any favorite memories of wrestling in Japan that you'd like to share with us?
I was very fortunate to be able to wrestle in the Tokyo Dome. That was one of my goals as a wrestler.
Oh, wow.
And I finally got a chance to do that when I wrestled for New Japan. I want to say it was 2007. The year escapes me, but it was, I want to say 2007. I wrestled for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship against Wataru Inoue. And it's just one of my favorite matches in terms of the scope of it all. We get to wrestle in front of 30,000 fans, and it was a very big match feel, and that stands out. The first time, every time I wrestled in Corbin Hall, which is probably the most famous building in terms of wrestling, apart from maybe the ECW arena,
right.
In terms of the intimate setting, Corbin Hall has always been a great venue for me, and I thought that was where we were wrestling on the second. But I think I might be mistaken. I think it's Sumo Hall. So if anybody listening can confirm or deny where we're going to be on March 2nd, I'd appreciate it because that'll help me get there in time for the show if I know where the show is.
They don't give you any type of itinerary. You just kind of got to figure it out.
Well, someone's going to drive me there because obviously I can't drive in Japan. I can't read the street sign. So
right.
It's probably best that someone help me get there on time. But it would certainly help if I knew what direction to tell the taxi driver.
Absolutely. That's always a plus. Now, transitioning back into TNA, is there anyone that you would like to see come in, maybe in the future? Because we've seen a lot of new faces.
Oh, wow. Nobody comes to mind. I mean, I feel like we've got a really good roster right now. I feel like guys like Mannix and Kenny King haven't really, they haven't been on television in a while. I feel like they're still a strong part of our roster. So I'm actually hoping for more returns than actual new faces. But at the same time, I'm always happy to see new talent in TNA. I'm always, I always welcome the new challenges from guys. And when I heard like guys like Davey and Eddie were coming in, I was very happy to know that we'd get an opportunity to work with those guys. I'm looking forward to working with MVP in that same respect. But on the top of my head, off the top of my head, that I could name. If I knew that question was going to be asked, I'd have done my homework. But I did not.
I'm sorry.
I did not study for this particular test. No one gave me the syllabus, so I wasn't quite sure what we were studying for this particular test. So I fail in that respect.
Well, next time we'll have to make sure to give you all the questions in advance, so that way you know.
That would help. I'd do some background.
So, this is just me. This is, I'm curious because, we keep mentioning the Wolves. And I have to compliment you on the match that you and Frankie had with them. It was absolutely tremendous. It was wonderful to watch. What was that experience like to give them their first tag match in TNA?
I felt like it was basically a given. I feel like when you talk about tag team wrestling in TNA right now, Bad Influence is the first team that comes to mind. And so I think that was the one that everybody was looking forward to. And I feel like a long-term program between us and them is inevitable. And I feel like that's definitely a direction that we should go in. And, once lockdown is over, we'll see exactly where we're going.
Absolutely. And I look forward to that. Just me
personally.
I do
look forward to it.
Because it should
There's
be tremendous.
Two of us at least. Yes, it will be tremendous. I agree with you.
I don't know if Davey and Eddie will look forward to it, but, well...
Well, those guys, having known them for a long time and wrestling them in Ring of Honor, I know that they're itching to make their name on the national scene. And, the only way you get to be the best is if wrestling the best. And like I said, the best tag team in the biz in this is us. So, I mean, the best way to make a name is to have a good showing against us. And, they got lucky that first match. But like I said, it won't be the last time that they, do that dance with us. And, no matter who, no matter what happens, the winner of that match is going to be the TNA fan base for getting to watch some great tag team wrestling.
Absolutely. Now, one of our most favorite things that you and Frankie do is you do the Throwback Thursday moments.
Yes.
And we've seen you do some awesome moments from the Road Warriors to the Braveheart personas in Scotland, which was amazing. And I have to know, do you have a favorite?
I'd have to say the Legion of Boom was my favorite.
That was good.
Actually, the truth of it is, the only one that I had any say in terms of like coming up with it was that one. All of the other ideas have come from the fertile mind of Francois Kazarian. But I definitely enjoyed the Legion of Boom. I was real happy that we got a chance to do the Best Coast Bulldogs in England. And for those of you that don't get a chance to watch Explosion, get on YouTube now and look it up. It's actually playing today on Explosion on Challenge TV overseas. But for those of you that have access to YouTube and not access to Explosion, you can watch it on YouTube now. I say it's one of my finer moments.
Well, we will definitely have to check that out. And can you maybe give us a hint what Frankie possibly has in mind for any future moments, or are we just going to have to wait and see?
You'll have to wait and see. Sometimes he doesn't even tell me what's in his mind until the last minute, but that's fine with me. Frankie and I, we trust each other implicitly, and whenever we decide to go down an avenue to envision a fine Throwback Thursday, you can rest assured that it will be an entertaining spectacle to be enjoyed by all.
Absolutely. And speaking of entertaining spectacles and YouTube, we have to talk about your TNA 24/7 videos.
Okay.
I absolutely love those. I love that you seize that. And I think my favorite is your wife helping you get ready.
Oh, for Halloween?
For Halloween.
Ah, well, thank you very much. You know, I felt like when we were given those opportunities, when they came to us as the TNA roster and said that they were going to start this Impact 365 venture, you know, I saw an opportunity to sort of show people the entertaining side that you might not get a chance to see on Impact. And Frankie and I sort of dove into it head first. And we still have some ideas. We have some stuff in the works that we're going to put up on the 365 site pretty soon. So just stay tuned, man. We're not done with this yet.
I can't wait. I was just about to ask you if we were getting any more videos from you, but obviously are, so I can't wait to see those. But I have to know, how did your wife get a hold of your arch rival's Curry Man's outfit?
I have no idea. If I ever find out that Curry Man was ever in my house, I'll have him assassinated on the spot. He still owes me money. He still owes me money, and he's a bit of a drunk, so I can't imagine he drove over here.
And I would bet not, so I guess it made you happy to see him lose the match to Bully Ray.
Well, I know that he's got a very strong neck, so I'm sure he'll return as spicy as ever. But I still haven't seen him backstage. I thought he was going to come around, but as soon as he got hurt by Bully Ray, he was taken to the hospital via ambulance, so I didn't get a chance to talk to him. So I'm sure when he comes back, he and I will have some choice words to trade.
Well, I definitely look forward to that. Maybe we'll see it on the 24/7 service.
We hope so. We hope so.
We hope so, because you know we got to get you two together at some point.
If you say so, I'm livid at the young man. I don't believe in anybody that you should always repay your debt as quickly and expeditiously as possible. But apparently, the young Spice King doesn't share my enthusiasm with paying back debt.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yes, I agree.
Completely unfortunate. We may have to see if we can get him on for an interview and talk to him about that.
Well, I don't know if you want to listen to his rotten, broken English. He may not be as entertaining as me.
Nobody.
Unless you do a visual, he may dance. He may dance for 20 minutes.
Well, that would be okay, but you know, nobody is as entertaining as you.
I concur. Nobody.
So, just to, you know, start to wrap things up here and kind of go back to lockdown, you know, obviously you're excited for it. You don't know what you're doing. Is it cool to be going to Miami and being able to interact with all the fans? Are you looking forward to the fan interaction portion of lockdown, at least?
Yeah, always, always. I mean, first of all, going to a new market, this will be the first time that I think TNA's been in Miami, at least for a pay-per-view. You know, it's always cool to be able to wrestle live in front of new fans, and bringing a pay-per-view extravaganza to Miami, I think, is going to be a big deal for everybody. And the fan interaction, it's always fun to be able to sort of give the opportunity to see our most fervent fans live. You know, when you get an opportunity to meet and greet the fans, you know, that's a big deal for them, and it's a big deal for us to know that we've got the support of these guys, and they're the reason that we continue to be able to do what we love for a living.
Right, absolutely. And I'm sure you're not looking forward to it, because I'm sure it hurts a lot, but do you like the fact that Tina has brought back the all-cage format for the show?
I'm indifferent. You know, I'm fine. I was fine wrestling in the cage. I know last year we did lockdown, and I was in one of the matches that wasn't in the cage, and I was fine with that as well. It'll be interesting to see what happens, like what the final match for us is going to be. I'll have a better idea of how we're going to approach this match once I know what the match actually is. But I'm fine either way. If it was in a cage, if it wasn't in a cage, if it's in the parking lot, no matter what, no matter who we're wrestling, that influence will come out victorious, like always.
Of course. As we expect you to. It's just the automatic guess that, you know, that influence will win every time.
We're more consistent than the Reddit guy, predicting pay-per-views. We're way more consistent than him. Every time we're in, we win. So there you have it.
There you go. And I have just one last final question for you, going a little bit back to the fan interaction.
All right.
What is the craziest thing a fan has ever either done for you or brought you?
That's a tough one. I'm trying to think. We don't really get very many insane fans. There's always someone dressed as Hulk Hogan, or someone, with their face painted like Jeff Hardy, wearing Jeff Hardy's hand-me-downs.
Right.
Sometimes people bring Appletinis as if their recipe would be better than mine. They never are. I'm just letting everyone know. That's pretty much it. It's usually alcohol or face paint, one or the other.
Well, alcohol's not a bad gift.
No, it's not. It's fine. It's just, you know, let me make the Appletinis. I'm way better at it than a lot of folks. So.
Well, you are the master of the Appletini. So.
It's true. I brought the resurgence. The national resurgence of the Appletini can be directly attributed to myself. Zach Braff should thank me.
We should. I know the last time that we had you on the show, we actually got your recipe, and I did try to make it. It probably wasn't as good as yours, but it was still amazingly good.
I didn't tell you my secret ingredient, so that's probably true.
That's probably it, you know.
That's
but
it.
I at least tried to make it based on what you told us.
There you go.
So, all right, guys. Chris, thank you so much for coming on. And everybody remember, you can see TNA Lockdown in person on March 9th in Miami, Florida at the Bank United Center at the University of Miami. And you can, of course, purchase tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Also on March 8th, you can be a part of the TNA Lockdown fan interaction, which you can buy tickets for at ShopTNA.com. And, of course, if you can't make it to Miami,
and if you go to fan interaction, make sure to tousle Robbie East there. He loves it. Just walk right up to him and tousle it like he's a young man. He is a young man.
Does it move?
Sometimes. It depends on what kind of spackle or pomade or hair chutney that he puts in it. He mixes it up every day. I know it's a different formula. Sometimes the hair chutney makes it very, very soft, though. So give it a try, everyone. Make sure. Just rub your hands right through it.
And, of course, if you're not there to tousle Robbie E's hair, you can, of course, also buy it on pay-per-view with your local cable provider. So
not
Chris,
Robbie E's hair, Lockdown. Not Robbie
yes,
E's
Lockdown.
Hair. You can get Lockdown on pay-per-view. You can't get Robbie E's hair anywhere. I've even looked on eBay. It's not there.
You know what? You need to talk to Jimmy J and get him to come up with a Robbie E wig.
Oh, do you think anybody wants to look like Robbie E? I don't think there's that many fans that do that.
No. Come to think of it, no.
I'm not sure it's a look that everybody's following. It's possible. I think more people want to look like me than look like Robbie E.
Well, you guys also have a shirt, so everybody buy your
shirt. I do have a shirt. I'm wearing a shirt right now.
Fantastic. So. Buy the Bad Influence shirt at ShopTNA.com as well.
There you go. And never mind trying to look like Robbie E. Robbie E doesn't really want to even look like Robbie E.
Everybody look like Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian because they are awesome.
Well, try your best anyway.
Yes. So, Chris, thank you once again for coming on. We appreciate it so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, and thank you for all the support, for all the fans listening. We wouldn't be where we are today without your rabid and insane support. So thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, everyone, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I, once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burr, Hulk Hogan, and TNA knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW, it's pimping.
Greetings and salutations, listeners. This is Christopher Daniels, and among many things, I am a pillar of society, an inspiration to children everywhere, and the man with the rear that makes the girls cheer. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio. And now, you are too. We'll be right back.
right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane, memlanepromo.com, for all your memorabilia needs. I hope everybody enjoyed Christopher Daniels. I know I did. What about you, Rock?
Christopher Daniels made me laugh out loud so many times during an interview. He was tremendous.
He was tremendous. And, well, we're not quite done. Like we said, you know, at the top of the show, the next couple weeks are going to be pretty full. And, well, I think we can go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. Because, well, this week we talked to Christopher Daniels. And next week you get not one, but two TNA stars in the fact that we're going to be talking to the other half of Bad Influence. The one, the only, the Frankie Kazarian. And, of course, joining him, because, you know, we can't, we just can't outdo ourselves.
No, of course not.
At all.
You know, we just can't give you one quality TNA guest, because that's just, you know, wrong of us. So we got you one this week, giving you Kazarian next week. But he's not alone, as Lindsay mentioned. Next week on the show, the current reigning and defending X Division champion of the world.
And the newest member of Team Dixie, Mr. Austin Aries, will be on the program as well. So definitely tune in for that.
That's two guests next week.
Two guests.
There's one person who in our chat room right now is like, oh, crap. And that's King Kittens.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, King Kittens. I'm so sorry.
Not really.
He says, bring it. He was talking to me during the Daniels interview, and he was saying he's on a roll right now, so we'll see. And, by the way, we're not done with Daniels, Kaz, or Aries. There might be bigger guests in our future as well. I'm not going to tell you who, because it's not confirmed yet, but yeah, just keep that in mind that this is only the start of the interviews for this year.
Yeah, the producer's working on stuff.
The producer has plans and he's working on stuff, and when stuff gets firmed up and confirmed and in the can, well, we'll let you know.
You all know. But until then.
Yeah, knock wood on this one. Definitely. So, now that we've got that announcement over the way, why don't we have a little fun and do some Tweet of the Week?
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Abe Knuckleball Schwartz.
Not quite.
Not quite. We're not at that level yet. When we get to Abe Knuckleball Schwartz level, then it's, you know, we've hit the real big time. Just pulling one out.
King Kittens, if we got Taker or Bray, you would have heard my squee from Arizona. I would not be able to keep that one under wraps. Just pointing that out.
So, yes.
Actually,
go ahead.
If we got Taker, I would be dead right now because it's, oh my god, I have to interview The Undertaker. I don't even know what to do.
Yes, that's right. The goon is coming. No. Anyway, Tweet of the Week. Let's get to it.
Tweet of the Week. So, I kind of forgot a little bit, so I just went out and favorited some random tweets. Luke Harper. You three boys picked a beautiful hill to die on, which I still think is a fantastic line. Sunday, war, it begins. Hashtag quiet family. Hashtag follow the buzzards. Bray Wyatt, don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, Shield. Don't take your guns to town. Hashtag elimination chamber.
All right, come on. Please be Eric Rowan. Please be Eric Rowan. Please be Eric Rowan.
Well, I could do the Eric Rowan one that I found, but it's not very funny.
No,
like,
no.
Literally, it's just driving north.
Okay, that's
ever the novelist, Eric Young, ladies, or I'm sorry, Eric Rowan, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. At least he's at least he's not driving south.
This is true. Scott M. Fishman. Hi, boss. I won't be able to come in this week. I'm sick. Cough. Turns on at WWE Network. Hashtag WWE. Hashtag WWE Network. And lastly, Bray Wyatt once again. The golden calf has been sent out to pasture. Can you still see him? Hashtag follow the buzzards.
There you go. All right, my turn.
Yes, your turn.
Betty freaking White for the hashtag bad Olympic events. Spermicidal luge.
Ooh.
Not SportsCenter. Source, LeBron refuses to film Space Jam 2 until he's allowed to have Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Ray Allen, and Joey Crawford on the Toon Squad. Tweet like a girl. Yes, there's an actual Twitter called Tweet Like a Girl. If you don't come home and immediately either take off your pants or change into pajamas, then I'm sorry, but you're living life wrong. Is this true?
Generally, yes.
Okay.
This is true.
Tweet like a girl. My dance style ranges from white dad at a barbecue to a stripper whose rent is due tomorrow.
Only if I'm drunk.
Ryan Lawrence, there's an Olympic event where they ski, stop skiing, shoot guns, and then ski again. But baseball and wrestling were in jeopardy. Bobby Heenan quotes, Oklahoma, they're the only state where they consider 8th grade to be higher education. Lance Storm, I know Rhonda is a beautiful woman, but man, is she a mean, ugly woman on the way to the cage? UFC 170.
She's a mean woman in the cage, too.
Ricardo Rodriguez, I love you, Ronda Rousey. I promise to never make you mad, LOL. Hashtag UFC 170. Scott Van Pelt, not the fake SVP. The cool thing in 2014 is if you died in a horrifying fashion and it was caught on camera, Twitter would totally make fun of it with GIFs and memes. Yes. Yes, they would.
I believe they did.
Mm-hmm. For the hashtag NBC reboots, Fear Factor, Christians versus Lions. Hashtag NBC reboots, news radio podcast. You know, everything's a podcast these days, including this show, available on iTunes. Search for it, The Rack. Rock radio show, rather. NBC reboots, Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, the rest of the first season. Yes, please give us back Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. It was a great show. Betty freaking White, Girl Scout cookies or Cadbury cream eggs. Some seasons bring difficult moments of self-exploration. Yes, they do. Big E, tonight I jack his swagger. Stay tuned for more inspired, well-crafted tweets. Hashtag Elimination Chamber. Smith Hart. LOL, does anyone see the irony in Lita getting inducted into the Hall of Fame in a town known as the Big Easy? Dolph Ziggler. Batista's back tattoo is one of those magic eye posters. Stare close and you'll see the words, deal with it. Hashtag Raw. More from Dolph Ziggler. John Cena, I didn't get your messages. My girl was supposed to pay my Boost mobile bill, but she missed her Hooter shift. Hashtag Raw. From Dolph Ziggler for the hashtag Drunk Films. Blow in this tube to start my car. Betty freaking White. There will be Bloody Marys. Hashtag Drunk Films. The Lego of me. I'm not drunk movie. Hashtag Drunk Films. And finally, tonight on SportsCenter, this is from Not SportsCenter, tonight on a SportsCenter exclusive is LeBron's mask, the greatest mask of all time. Our round table of experts will debate and decide. And that's probably actually something that they're actually going to do, because that's ESPN. Anyway, that's the tweet of the week.
Yay!
I didn't have that many.
No, you didn't. I'm very proud of you. So now...
Hold on. Alright, so I gotta ask the question, King Kittens. Did you just do what I think you just did? Answer me in
what
the
did
chat.
What did you just do?
Answer me in the chat room. If it's you, I will promote it.
Anyway. What did he just do?
If he says... Okay. He just created the Twitter for Daniel's Apple Teeny. Called TNA Teeny. So follow it now.
TNA Teeny, yes. We need to get Christopher Daniels in on this.
Now, you actually have to use it and make it popular and that sort of thing. So, I'm giving you credit. I'm giving you a start. So, you got to actually do something with it.
You got to be funny, King Kittens. Just pointing that out.
Pointing that one out. So follow TNA Teeny on Twitter now for Daniels Apple Teeny. It has a Twitter. There you go.
So on that note, we are going to jump right into the first of two shows that we have to review tonight. We're going to try and make this as quick and as painless as possible for you guys, but there's a lot to get into with both of these. The first of these is the debut of NXT on the WWE Network, NXT Arrival, which this was really my first experience of seeing NXT, at least in a live format, not in a tape format. I know that's probably the same thing for you, even though you've been kind of catching up.
Yeah, but again, it's still a tape format. I've never actually seen it. Here's an airtime, and it's on. Never, ever done that.
Yeah, and this was a two-hour special brought to you by the WWE and the WWE Network. It featured mainly the NXT superstars. We had a couple surprise guests, which we'll get into. But they mainly focused on the NXT talent, which was fantastic, and we got to see a lot of really great matches, including your opening contest. But before we get to it...
Can we talk about the pre-show?
We could totally talk about the pre-show.
Did you see any of the pre-show?
I saw a little bit of it.
Okay. So the pre-show panel was Renee Young hosting with Bret the Hitman Hart, Kevin Nash, and Paul Heyman. Now, like, they did a video for the WWE Performance Center, and they have seven rings, and et cetera, et cetera. And one of them, the aerial ring, right? Where you do aerial moves. When they go to Kevin Nash for comment about it, basically, to sum it up, he said, when you think aerial game, you think of me, Kevin Nash. If they had that back in the day, he would have been an awesome aerial flyer, and he would have pulled off the 1190 moon bomb. The 1190 moonbomb. Kevin Nash. Lucha Libre star Kevin Nash.
The pre-show was tremendous. You had Heyman taking selfies with the fans.
Dude, he seriously took a selfie with a fan. Dude asked him, can you take a picture of me? And Paul Heyman gives this big cheesy grin. And he's taking a selfie. It was fantastic. It was great. Paul Heyman is really good. Kevin Nash was really good. Bret was Bret on the panel. But, well, he was Bret. What do you want? He was insightful. I enjoyed the panel. Paul Heyman needs to be on panels more often. He's really good at it.
He really is. I mean, it's Paul Heyman. How can he not be entertaining, seriously? I don't think the dude knows how. Like, seriously, he was born with a gift to entertain, and he needs to do so.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
So we move from the pre-show to the actual show, where we cut to the dark arena, where there's just lights with, I guess, smoke or clouds or something, and then we hear those infamous words.
Are you ready?
No, really.
I said, are you ready.
Yes, the show opens with Triple H in the ring. He welcomes us to NXT, and he says that this is the future of the WWE. Which he's right.
Right.
And then it was just a quick little intro by Triple H. It was a nice way to start the show. And then we literally jumped right into the first contest of the evening, featuring Antonio Cesaro.
No, one. Triple H had the biggest grin on his face. He was a proud papa.
Oh, he totally was a proud papa.
And it's no longer Antonio. Get it right.
He will always be Antonio Cesaro to me. Deal with it.
He is Cesaro.
I can't call him Cesaro when I'm actually introducing him, because he has a first name and a last name.
Trust me, I've done it multiple times, so I'm just giving you crap for it. Anyway,
moving on. Your opening contest featuring Cesaro and Sami Zayn. This was a thing of beauty. This was just absolutely a thing of beauty.
Oh, okay. Okay. Like, this match. Alright. Match of the night. Match of, I don't know, I can't even say week. It was one of the matches of the week. It was really, 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 really good stuff. Before we get into the match, they gave the arena a nice makeover, which was good. They added video screens and all that fun, happy stuff to it. It was really cool.
They made it feel like and look like the normal WWE arenas that we're used to seeing. They had the video bar that goes around the arenas, going around the top of the building. They had the actual, like, a fake scoreboard hanging in the center that played video and everything, which is really cool that they did all that to make it look and feel more like an actual arena as opposed to a soundstage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's not a soundstage. It's an actual arena. So they upped the arena-ness to it. Which is cool, and it's different from a soundstage that the other company uses, and it just takes a little bit to make things look... Anyway. So... They started the match, and they were already getting This Is Awesome chants from the first few exchanges, which was well deserved. There was one, early on there was a spot where Zayn tried diving through the first and second turnbuckle from the outside over to Cesaro and got caught with a huge uppercut.
Oh, that was stunning. That was a great spot.
Because back in the first match, he was able to dive through and connect. So this is a playback to one of the earlier matches where he was able to, this time, Cesaro counter it, which was very nice. Zayn went for a moonsault, Asai moonsault on the outside, but Cesaro caught him and tilt-a-world slammed him into the ramp, which was really cool. Zayn was selling really, really hard on this one. This broke almost up to a 10 count before he got in the ring. Then Zayn sort of came back a little bit, hit the Exploder suplex, sending him into the corner, which was nice. Zayn hit a Kochi clutch, I think it is. I think that's how you pronounce it. Don't remember exactly how they pronounce it. But
yeah, it's like the Kochi kick.
The Kochi kick, Kochi clutch, I think it was. And then Cesaro countered it into a nice move. What the hell was the move called? This is where I'm going back to my Twitter. Because I wrote some of this stuff down. I was taking sort of notes as I went. And tweet them at Wild Talk Radio, which you can follow us, and follow at Linswood, LINSWARD. You know, that whole fun stuff that we plug later in the show, but just plug it now because I could, because I'm stalling as I look for it.
Anyway, while he looks for the move, just to kind of go back, this was a very hard fought, very great match, lots of selling between both men, lots of counters, especially at the end.
Yeah, I can't find the exact move, but he was able to counter out of the Kochi clutch. It was the stretch muffler. That's what it was, stretch muffler. He got his head, a leg wrapped around his head and called it, it's a stretch muffler, because there it is in our chat. That's where it was. And then, after he hit the stretch muffler on Zayn, the Cesaro, he went for the, as Lindsay mentioned, the counters. He went for the Cesaro swing once, countered it the first time. Second time, he caught him. Did 10 rotations, but you could see Zayn was trying to fight it. Like, that was the best sell of the Cesaro swing I've seen in a while, where it's not just put my hands to my head or hands out. He was trying to fight it.
He was, and that was really fantastic. I liked that he did that.
You could tell he's taken this a time or 10 times in his career.
Yeah, just a few. Just a couple.
Just a few. Throughout the match, we had This Is Awesome chants. We've had, we the people, let's go Zayn. We the people, let's go Zayn. And then there's part of the match where Cesaro basically told Zayn, stay down. And that's where it got interesting. At one point, Zayn had a comeback at one point, hit a Yakuza kick, which led to another near fall. One thing I will say, in this one especially, and even in the later match we'll get to, William Regal's call of the match. Fantastic.
Somebody put William Regal on commentary on Raw and SmackDown now. Somebody do it, please. For the love of everything holy, please do it.
Yeah, it was kind of awesome.
All three commentators. All three of them. Okay? Just move this team up to Raw and SmackDown. Because they are such a pleasure to listen to. All three of them are.
Especially Regal. Really good. Cesaro hit Zayn with an uppercut a couple times. Kept telling him, stay down. Kept getting back up. And every time he would hit the uppercut. Cesaro was going for neutralizer. Zayn countered it into a near fall. And then followed up with a nice sunset flip powerbomb. The old Canadian destroyer, as it were. Which was really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cesaro, threw Zayn high in the air in a huge uppercut. And Zayn kicked out one.
Right?
And Cesaro was like, what the hell? So he was like, okay, come on, Zayn, just stay down. But Zayn, the fight in Sami Zayn. I love how Regal says, Sami. But Sami Zayn kept getting up and up. And then he came out of the corner to Cesaro with this discus-style uppercut and just knocked the crap out of him. And then hit the neutralizer, and Cesaro beat Sami Zayn. This was fantastic.
This was a clinic. This really was. If you're starting to be a wrestler, if you want to learn how to be a wrestler, watch this match. Watch their series of matches. Because they just went out there, and you could, if you're in the know, Sami Zayn and Cesaro have worked each other for years. So it's something of, it's really one of these hello, my old friend matches, which are always a pleasure to watch when you get two guys in there that really know each other, really know what they're doing, and they're pulling stuff out that you don't see every day.
Right. And it's just, these two told a nice story. They had the flippy, floppy moves, and they had the high spots and whatever. But the whole point was Sami Zayn wouldn't stay down. He kept coming back. And the point of this matchup was Sami Zayn was looking for the respect of Cesaro. And after the match, Cesaro gave him that respect as he came back to the ring, picked him up, shook his hand.
And they hugged. And everybody cried.
And everybody cried. But you could see, the smile on Zayn's face as he finally got that respect out of Cesaro, which is what he was looking for, and the fans standing for Sami. And, that was an awesome moment.
The whole match was a fantastic opener. I felt really bad for the next match, which we'll get into in a minute because I had to follow this. But, this was a great opener. It was a fantastic match, and the ending just really sold it, where you had Cesaro kind of break character for a minute and give that respect to Sami Zayn and really, help him out. And, Zayn walked away with a smile on his face. And as he should, these two just did so wonderfully. I was talking to Omega during the show too, and he and I were both saying, it's like, this needs to happen on the main roster. They need to redo this feud on the main roster when Zayn comes up, if Cesaro's still there.
Right. They got these, that. Go ahead.
These matches need to make it to pay-per-view and TV.
They went about 23 minutes. Really, really great match.
Yeah, and that's one thing we can say about all the matches tonight, is they were nice and long, because they had 2 hours for the show.
Well, not every match was long, but the three big matches got the bulk amount of time, which is pay-per-view quality, which is what you want.
Absolutely. So we move on to our next contest, which is the Moonchild CJ Parker taking on Mojo Rawley.
#hype.
Who is literally the human version of the Roadrunner. again, I said I felt really bad for these guys because they had to follow Cesaro and Zayn. And the crowd was just dead. And you could tell the crowd was just dead from that match.
Well, they were spent because they went 23 minutes with the other guys. And it's like, this is why it's a pay-per-view. They bring the crowd back down. And this was my first time seeing Mojo Rawley in action. It wasn't bad.
Yeah, he's okay. And same thing with CJ Parker, and it's just, it's because you don't get to see a lot of them. You just basically see them in the ring. So you don't get to see much of their personalities, but it's like, yeah, you know, okay. They're decent in the ring. I mean, from what I remember of the match, which honestly isn't a lot because, like everybody else, I was spent, it was okay. But it just, it was...
They were there to showcase Mojo Rawley, and that's sort of what they accomplished.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure CJ Parker got a nice rub from it, too.
It was fine. Mojo Rawley won. With the hyperdrive, as it's called. You learned something. as you watch this.
Which, no offense to him, I just wasn't really impressed with. I guess it's... I don't know if it's the way that they shot it, or the way that he did it. But it just, it didn't seem that devastating to me.
No, but again, we'll learn more about and see in different fashions, and maybe it'll click for us. But first go around, it was a match.
It was a match. Yes, absolutely. And your next contest, was it the tag team belts, or was it...
Yeah, it was the NXT tag team titles. It was announced on the pre-show that the Ascension would be in action, and they would be facing a mystery team. And that mystery team turned out to be...
Turn it up!
That was
interesting. Turn it up! That's right. Too cool. They're back! I was actually a little disappointed because I've heard a lot of things about the Ascension, and I, you know, it's like you look them up on WWE.com, and Connor, who's the big guy, has this amazing ring coat, and he didn't wear it.
Aww.
I wanted to see that Rico, man. I wanted to see that so much, but it didn't happen, so...
Yeah, Victor and Connor were the Ascension. They were the tag team champions. Took on the Too Cool. Sky Too Hottie has shaved his head completely. And he looks like our guest earlier in the evening, Christopher Samuels.
Yeah, he really kind of does.
Everyone was talking about it on Twitter, and it's like, yeah, he kind of does. So it's nice. They got the work Too Cool. They got... See, when I've seen the Ascension a couple times on television, they work squash matches. This is the first time I've seen them actually sell a little bit, and it was very nicely done. I like this match. You had Sky Too Hottie make the big comeback for the team, go for the worm. The crowd was W-O-R-M. Boom, boom. No. Got blocked. And the Ascension hit Fall of Man, their double team finisher, sort of old school like the Eliminators, where they, the high load type gimmick. Cut him off, and picked up the victory.
I will say this, I was very impressed by this match. I really liked the Ascension's entrance.
They need a little bit more work in the ring.
But they're an effective tag team. I like their look. I like what they've got going on.
They have the look, they just need to work on the in-ring skill, and more and more competitive matches will do that for them.
Absolutely. I mean, they're just kind of getting started, but I like what they have going. And it's one thing I'm kind of noticing about NXT with the way that they kind of do things is when they do a heel tag team, they do heel tag teams very well.
Right.
And that's cool.
Right. So the Ascension beat Too Cool to retain the tag team title, so their long reign continues.
Absolutely. So after this, we had your second advertised contest of the evening.
Before we get into it, you announce the match and we'll get into it.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
I'm sorry.
Let me do my job, man.
I have something to say. I'm sorry.
Anyway, you had Emma taking on the anti-diva Paige,
right?
With the match being introduced by the lady that never lost it, Miss Stephanie McMahon.
The crowd were chanting, "You still got it, you still got it," and she said, "I've never lost it."
Little Miss Sassy Stephanie McMahon.
Right. Now,
thank you very much.
Yeah, she's very sassy. I wanted to mention something from the pre-show. They did a really, really nice job. They played like a promo package for Emma. They did a nice interview with Natty and Emma in the ring where you could see, like, Emma knew this was a huge moment for her. Natty was giving her advice. It was like they did it in the empty arena earlier in the day. It was awesome.
Yeah, that I did see, and that was very well done.
They did the same thing for Paige, where she was interviewed by Tensai, and it was a nice package there. They did a nice overall package on that show as well to promote the match. They made this match out like it's big time.
Well, for NXT, it is big time.
I think this was, out of all the video packages I saw tonight for promoting stuff, theirs was the best.
Oh, absolutely. They did a very nice job building this match, of hyping this match. And it was nice to see, because this is actually the first time I've ever seen Paige.
Me too.
In the ring. I've seen her in pictures and obviously and that kind of stuff, but I've never seen her actually wrestle full-on match. And I've never really seen Emma wrestle full-on match either, beyond what I've seen on Raw and SmackDown. And so this was really good.
Oh, because they've been in the ring together early on again. Counter. It's good. they had a great match. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. They had nice near falls. Saw Emma go for the dilemma, which is the move on the ropes. The tarantula type move on the ropes that everyone sort of does, which is nicely done. They do the Emma sandwich where she does the crossbody into the corner. There was a nice surfboard move in the match where you could see Paige was like up on her tippy toes trying to stay on the ground a little bit, which was great. It just added to the devastation of the move.
Yeah, you could. Paige is a little short.
It is. Yeah, but well, they both are. But it's just sort of one of those things where she's on her tippy toes, but you can see Emma didn't try for a full surfboard. If she went for a full surfboard, she would have had her up, but she's keeping her ground, so she's pulling back on the spine, which is really nice. She tried for the Emma lock early, once in the match, couldn't get it fully locked in. Emma was able to count her out. Paige hit the Paige Turner, and it led to a 2 count. It was the move that she beat Emma with back in August. And it was like, the announcers went crazy. It's like the first time anyone's ever kicked out of the Paige Turner in NXT.
Yep.
And then the finish. Oh, this finish.
I don't even know what that submission move is called, but it is badass looking.
I was like, she put a leg lock on, and then she pulled on her arms. It's like, Regal was calling it some sort of scorpion cross lock or something. And
yeah,
that's a good way, good term for it, because it's like the scorpion deathlock with the legs and the sharpshooter. So the scorpion, and then you have the cross lock with the arms pulling back. Like she could barely tap out. That's where like how far she was back. She was bent in like half.
It was impressive. It's like Paige is standing there holding her up.
It was impressive as hell. I was really blown away by the submission. William Regal was blown away by the submission. It was awesome.
Yeah, this was a great match. My only complaint was it was a little slow in spots, because you had Emma's a lot more methodical than you think she would be, and so it was a little slow in places, but other than that, I loved the counters, I loved all the moves, we got a powerbomb from Emma.
The sit-down powerbomb.
I mean, when was the last time you saw a diva pull a sit-down powerbomb? I mean, shut up.
And the fans chant it, better than Batista, better than Batista.
Which was amazing.
You know, everyone in the truck went, oh. They laughed their asses off on that one.
Oh, it was. And this was, like I said, this was great. Uh-huh. This was absolutely great.
Fantastic.
It's like, get Paige up on the main roster and redo their feud on the main roster, because, yeah.
It was really good.
It's going to be interesting when Paige comes up, because Paige can work.
Paige can work. Emma needs a little bit more...
Emma needs a little help, but she's almost there.
She needs a little fine-tuning. She has the skills, she just needs the more fine-tuning, more matches, and she'll be fine. Because her moveset is a little bit methodical, and it just takes a little time. So a little smoothing out the edges, she'll be fine. Speaking of Emma, Paige went one, by the way, with the submission, so can retain the title. William Regal, beginning of the when Emma was coming out, he did the Emma dance. Like, I've seen Tensai do it, and it's funny. William Regal doing it is funny.
I loved Regal. He was so awesome, like, through this whole show. But, like, especially here, because he's like, you know, I love Emma. She makes all your troubles away go like bubbles, or makes all your troubles go away like bubbles or something like that. It's like, oh my god!
He did the Emma dance. Steph did the Emma dance. Which was great. Like,
Where the hell has William Regal on commentary been all my life? Seriously, where has this been?
I don't know. You should mention before the match, Ric Flair and Charlotte were in the crowd. So you had Flair in the crowd adoring it. You had Larry Zbysko and Steve Kern in the crowd.
Pat Patterson and
Dusty Rhodes. Dusty were in the crowd. Which was cool, because they came up right after this match in the crowd, which was nice, so that you could see they kept rotating people into their seats, which is awesome. So they had a nice group of people there in the crowd.
They did. They really, really did, and there were plenty more backstage, too, that we probably didn't see, because I know the Shield was on the pre-show.
Were they?
Supposedly the Shield was on the pre-show, and supposedly they cut a promo on the Wyatt family, where they couldn't figure out what the mask was.
On the pre-show thing. Oh, yeah, I saw that. I thought you meant actually in the building. I think that was something taped, but yeah, they were on the pre-show.
They were probably there. I would almost bet that at least Bray Wyatt was there, because, well, the man that may or may not be his little brother
was in the main event.
Was in the main event.
But no, they cut a promo on the mask. It's a light mask. It was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Roman was like, "No, I recently went to the zoo. It's this." Mm-hmm. And then Seth's like, "Guys, it's a lamb mask." It's like, thank you, Seth, for making sense.
Wow, NXT now has merchandise.
Sweet.
There, there is a Bo Leave t-shirt.
You know what? There's a Bo Leave t-shirt for sale in my Rebel store, too.
Yes, you can. You can go to psychwarddesigns.com and click on the contact section and click the link. It'll take you right there. Or you can go to rackradioshow.com and click the little banner at the top of the page.
Yes, absolutely.
See, that's a plug.
Cheap plug. After the women's match, I'm having trouble remembering, did they go right into the main event, or was there a match in between?
There was the match in between, the brawl in between, and this is where things got interesting for me. It was Xavier Woods versus, remind me, come on.
It was Xavier Woods versus the Prince of Pretty, Tyler Breeze.
That's right, yeah. That's
who looks literally like the bastard love child of Dolph Ziggler and John Morrison. Yeah. I swear to God.
Yeah. The Ascension have t-shirts, and so does Paige, and they have regular NXT gear as well on WWEShop.com. But yeah, this is where things got interesting for me, because I saw it on the replay as we're doing the show. But on the live airing, this is where the network sort of had a hiccup. And WWE put out this following service advisory 43 minutes ago, so around midnight. During tonight's live NXT Raw special, we unfortunately experienced technical difficulties which are to be expected when launching a new digital network. We will work aggressively to solve these glitches and deliver quality service. The complete event will be available on demand overnight, which is awesome. Which I believe will be happening here in a minute after this airing. I think it goes into the archives within the next hour or so.
Yeah. See, I didn't have the problem. I didn't have the issue, but I can go ahead and kind of commentate on this one since Brock didn't necessarily get to see it. Basically, you had Xavier Woods come out. You had Tyler Breeze come out. They rang the bell. And then they played Rusev's theme.
And
Rusev came out.
That's where cut.
Yeah. Rusev came out with Lana, his manager, or actually his social ambassador, or I forget what her exact title is, and basically Rusev laid havoc to both Tyler Breeze and Xavier Woods, with Xavier Woods receiving the worse end of the punishment, and basically Rusev put him into a version of the Steiner recliner.
Camel clutch, yeah.
And so it was basically just to make Rusev look dominant. You have Lana get in the ring, and she got a promo about Alexander Rusev, and I really like her. She's kind of kick-ass. Like, seriously, you see her cutting those promos, and it's like, you don't want to screw with this woman.
Right.
You seriously don't. So I'm looking forward to seeing her on the main roster and seeing what she does as a manager and eventually probably as a diva. But, yeah, this was pretty well done. We got to actually see Alexander Rusev in action again outside of the Rumble. Mm-hmm. And he looked very dominant mm-hmm. in the ring, which bodes well for him, I guess.
Which is what you want out of that, yeah. But yeah, a lot of people had issues with this is where the stream cut for I would say, a lot of at least 60% of the live viewing audience.
You know, honestly, if you gotta have a segment where it cuts...
This is the one segment where it's okay to cut.
Yeah, this is the one place in the show where it was okay for it to drop, and honestly, you didn't really miss much. But it picked right back up.
Oh, yeah. It picked right back up. It was a 2-3-4 minute glitch, and then you kept refreshing. You saw it in spurts, but then it sort of really picked back up, and it was flawless the rest of the time. And it has. I've kept the stream on the entire time we've done the show, and I had on part of in between for Superstars. It was fine. So it was a little minor glitch in the system, which is all right.
Yeah, basically, it's like what I said earlier. It seems like somebody hit a button or something that they weren't supposed to hit and probably took it down.
I don't think it was a button. I think it was just probably something glitched up somewhere. So.
Yeah, probably. I would say that. But now we move on to the main event of the evening, which is the man that gravity forgot, Adrian Neville, taking on the man that is more cheesy than Velveeta, Bo Dallas. In a ladder match for the NXT title. And we got a nice package for Neville. We got a nice package for Bo Dallas.
On the pre-show.
Which I sat and laughed through the entire damn time.
Alright, he also cut a promo during the pre-show. And it ended with, "Don't stop Bo leaving." And the big cheesy smile and a thumbs up. And I lost it right there.
Like, yeah, if you haven't seen Bo Dallas... to me, it's funny. To me, the gimmick is really funny because you see what he's trying to do. He's just the most insincere, fake, literally carved out of cheese guy out there because he's basically trying to play a good guy while being a bad guy, and it comes off so horribly it works.
It does.
So it's like, I just sit there and I honestly think it's hilarious.
Uh-huh.
In a good way. In a good way, I should add. But yeah, it's just like, you open Bo Dallas's promo with, "Can I get some water?
Yeah.
I'm a little parched. Can I get some water?" It's like, oh my god.
Now that, before the match actually took place, the one and only the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, made an appearance carrying the NXT Championship down to the ring, and the fans went, "One more match! One more match!" And he gets that question all the time. Will he ever stop enjoying retirement? And the answer is basically no. He's fat, out of shape, and doesn't have to adhere to a dress code.
Yeah, this was the point of the show where it's like, show, rails, nope.
Because then the crowd went, HB Shizzle, HB Shizzle.
Yeah, basically they kept distracting Sean, and we all know what happens when Sean sees something really shiny.
Ooh, shiny. Yeah, he had this. They did HB Shizzle, and you know, he says they should get a T-shirt made. And he admitted the fans were throwing up because he's a lot to get through, and he was about to go on his long speech about. He said he knows, you know, I know about ladder matches, and then the production guy around the ringside said, gotta wrap this up. So we pulled out his DVD, and you can see more about that on my new DVD, Shawn Michaels' Mr. WrestleMania DVD, because, well, I got kids, and they gotta go to college, and I
explained this to him.
No one explained that I have to feed them or clothe them to buy my DVD, because I need the money to feed and clothe them and send them to college, and it was fantastic.
Oh, this is a great little promo by HBK. And then you had Neville and Dallas come out.
Yeah, them come out. They did the big formal introduction, and the belt went up, and yeah.
And we got the ladder match, which this was a good ladder match. I would say this was not as good as the opener. They didn't top the opener, but it would be really difficult to.
It was hard to. Hard to top the opener. This was a really good match. I'm not going to lie.
This is a great match. It was a great showing for both Neville and Bo Dallas. I enjoyed this match thoroughly. I mean, they were basically smacking each other with the ladder. They were doing spots off the ladders. You could tell that they were just kind of going for it, but they were still sort of holding back a little bit. And I think that's my one problem with it, is they didn't fully go for it, but they probably didn't have the format to.
I wouldn't call it holding back. This is the first time mainly for Bo doing a ladder match, probably.
This was the first time both of them had.
Really? Okay. I thought Neville may have done someone in the indies, but okay.
No, he said, at least in the promo, he said this is his first ladder match. He's never done.
Then this is Neville's first ladder match. So you could see, again, it was safe a little bit, but that's fine. I love what they did to the ladders. They put yellow stripes on the ladders, which is awesome. Nice sign for NXT. Fantastic. It's the little things, people. Little things. There was one spot Bo was slow. Like, Lindsay was screaming at me. He's like, you're screaming in our chat box, Bo, you fool, climb up the ladder faster. And
it was literally Bo had thrown Neville on the outside, and he's just laying there laughing. It's like, you stupid idiot, get up the ladder.
Right, so he's climbing up it slowly. And then Neville springboards over him. Onto the ladder and tries pulling down the belt before getting taken off. There was a nice spot. They used the ladder well. He got knocked into the Neville got knocked into the ladder a few times, really hard. By Bo. Bo tried getting up the ladder, just couldn't each time. Neville finally took it over control. Laid Bo out on the ladder, hit the red arrow off the top rope onto the ladder. It's a nice move. Onto the ladder. Bo was dead and rolled to the outside. And then Neville scrambled, got the ladder up. Fans were excited for this. And Bo finally gets in the ring, but it was moments too late as your new NXT champion, Adrian Neville. Pulls down the belt and becomes champion.
Bo's not going to be happy about this. Mm-mm. I just a couple things. One, Bo Dallas has Bo Leave written in the Disney font on his trunks. Like, I sat here and literally tried to figure that out for the first 5 minutes of the match because I saw it and I was like, no, that's not in the font. I think it is.
Yeah, yeah. And she said, "Is that what it is?" And it's like, yep.
Yep. That's what it is. And so it's like, you know, literally basically the character that he's trying to play is he is literally trying to play a face that is actually a heel. Because he wants to be a role model and he thinks himself so high and mighty when in actuality he's really not. So, yeah, he's doing a good job with it. And now we get to see what that character becomes without his title. Because really, I think the character is built around the fact that he has the title, and now he doesn't have it anymore.
So it'll be interesting to see how the character evolves now that he no longer has the championship. So I'm looking forward to that. So after the match, you had John Cena in the crowd applauding Adrian Neville. It's great.
He sold his knee injury.
He did. After the event, he was selling his knee injury. And John Cena made a fellow colleague on internet radio famous tonight.
really?
Yeah, the man. If you watch the video, to his left, or to John Cena's, actually John Cena's right, but left on the camera side, was Brian Fritz of Between the Ropes, if anyone's ever heard of that radio show. It's on. It's, you know who it is now, don't you?
Yes.
That was Brian Fritz right next to him.
Nice. Go Brian. Go Brian.
He does Between the Ropes, and he's been on regular radio in Florida. So he just, like, for the entire time John Cena's clapping, there's Brian Fritz, and everyone was giving him crap on he's a new star on Twitter. So, shout out to Fritz. It was awesome.
Sweet. So, what are your overall thoughts on the show?
Oh, it was a great show. Great. I enjoyed it. It was so much fun. The pre-show got me hyped. I was hyped all day. We were talking throughout the day about it. It was like, looking forward to this. And it delivered. Like, I was excited to watch wrestling, and it, again, it's great. I can't stop raving about it.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. This was above and beyond anything you expected it to be. It was just starting from the set and moving up to the quality of wrestling, because when you think of, you know, NXT and you think of their, you know, what it is, it's really their farm territory, and it's where you have guys and girls learning to wrestle, so you don't really expect it to be all good. But even at its worst, it was still leaps and bounds ahead of what I've seen past WWE farm territories to be. Mm-hmm. And it was an absolute pleasure to watch. It was very enjoyable. I love the fact that the matches were long, that they gave them time. You know, especially the women's match. I love the fact that they let the women's match be long. I like the nice added touches of having Hunter and Steph there, of having Shawn there, of you got to see Cena, you had Too Cool there. You know, so you had those superstars there to help get the name value in, but the focus was on the NXT talent and really introducing the NXT talent to the WWE universe. Because at least here in the States, if you want to watch NXT, you have to see it either on Hulu Plus or you have to download it through other methods. So we don't actually get to see it on TV here. So it's something of, it was really cool for us because it's like we actually get to see it in its intended format. Mm-hmm. So it's like you get to, you know, so there were a lot of people that at least I got to see for the first time tonight.
Oh, I'm with you.
Which was really nice, and they did a very good job with the promo packages of introducing you to these stars, at least in the three big events. Mm-hmm. Or not the three, two of the three, and then I think the second match with Mojo Rawley, they had promo packages ready. But they did a really good job introducing people. You had the announcers introducing people, kind of giving a little bit of a backstory.
Even for Mojo Rawley, they had a nice video feature for him.
Yeah, so it's something of, they did a really, really, really good job with this.
So once again, it was a nice reason to get the network for $10. Go to WWE.com and buy it, because it was awesome.
Absolutely.
So yeah, even with the glitches and all, it was well worth it, because I enjoyed it tremendously. It was like, this was fun. We've been saying this all week. Wrestling isn't meant to be fun, and with the WWE Network and all the stuff, WrestleMania season right now, wrestling is fun.
So enjoy it. Yes. For Dean Ambrose. Hold on.
What about Dean Ambrose?
If you've ever watched his Shoot DVD, at the very end of the DVD, he goes, "Watch wrestling because wrestling is fun."
Ah, okay. Now, before we move on to our next thing, we gotta clear up stuff from what we did last week on the show.
What did we do last week on the show?
Pick 'em for the show.
Oh, right, we did pick 'em. Right. Well, you won. I know I picked Bo Dallas, so you won.
Yes, we both picked Sami Zayn and lost. We both picked Paige. We won. I picked Neville. You picked Dallas. I'm the winner. Come awesome.
Yay.
Yes, you should give me a standing ovation right now.
You're the one with the soundboard.
No, but you should do it on your own.
Doing it with one hand. You can't hear it, but I'm doing it with one hand.
Gosh, give me a credit where credit is due. God. Getting no credit. God, really? Alright, anyway. That was NXT Arrival. You're going to get more NXT commentary from the two of us in the coming weeks ahead. That's a guarantee.
Yeah. We're going to have to figure out how we do it, but yes, we will. We are actually considering starting to cover NXT, at least in a, either in the Rack Extra or here on the Rack itself, but we're going to have to figure out how to do that based on how NXT and Impact air against each other. Because, well, they are airing each other.
They are airing against each other. Next week will be easy, but if, in the weeks come, we'll figure out something. We're going to figure out a way to cover them both because there's a lot of stuff coming your way from this show anyhow. So you're going to hear a lot of us.
Yes, unfortunately. So if you don't like us, well, sorry.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Pretty much. So moving on from here, we are now going to kind of start to wrap things up with the Elimination Chamber. We're going to get into this pay-per-view because, well, I know you got to talk about it a little bit, but I haven't gotten to talk about it.
No, you haven't. So let's get into it a little bit. I should pull up some notes. That would be helpful.
That would be helpful. You know, professionalism.
Oh, I have a recap. I should pull up, though, my notes I took on Sunday. So, anyway, I do know the show opened with the pre-show, and I want to get your thoughts on the pre-show, which was Goldust and Cody against Rybacksel.
Axel brought his grandpa. It was so cute.
Yes, Larry, the Axe Henning, was in the corner of Rybacksel.
I felt a little bad for him because he seemed a little lost at times.
He did.
But this was a good match. It wasn't a great match. I think Henning can do, or I should say Axel can do so much more than what they're letting him do. I think he's actually a lot more talented than where he's at right now. But I think the problem is he just hasn't found the right persona for him. And I think it might be something of he's going to have to go outside being Mr. Perfect Son.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Because I don't think that's really working for him, and it's something of, like, there's nothing wrong with being proud of your family heritage at all, and I'm not knocking that. It's just, he's trying to be himself, and again, there's nothing wrong with that, because I think he's personally an awesome person, but there's just something about him on TV that there's a disconnect. So I don't know if it's the way that they're writing him or what, but it's just, there's something about him that it's not working because it's like, I really want to like him. I do like him. He's hilarious on Twitter, but it's like there's that disconnect on TV.
Right.
So, but I mean, Goldust and Cody pick up the victory.
There was a nice double dive where Cody jumped off the top rope. Goldust came through the ropes, which was nice. And the finish was Axel going for neckbreaker, but countered by Cody for the crossroads.
Absolutely. And we also need to kind of mention the debut of the new set.
Yes, the new fancy WWE Network set.
Yes, which was very, very nice, very fancy.
But come on, let it out there.
The logo bothers me.
It's not the design of the logo, it's just one little spot in the logo.
I am really OCD about this, just because it's the graphic designer in me. I don't like the intersecting lines from the W and the swoosh, because there's part of me that really, really, really wants to correct it so you don't have the lines going through the swoosh and through the W. Like, just take the damn Pathfinder tool, and just take the lines out, and it'll be fine. But yeah, I have this, you know, every time I see it, it just literally bothers me because it's an aesthetic thing for me, that when I see stuff like that, it bothers me because to me it's sloppy. It's like, really? Really? You couldn't, you know, fix the lines somehow?
Nope.
You fixed them in the logo. you fixed them in everything else except that. You know, so, and I get why, because it's a frosted glass logo, but still it's, really?
Anyway, we had a Real American promo on the show, and a Uso promo as well, so that covers the pre-show. This takes us to the main show, and it opened with Big E Langston and Jack Swagger.
Oh my god, these two tried to kill each other.
Very physical.
You had, I think at one point, Big E die through the ropes and just squish Swagger. Literally, squish him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I was watching the match, I'm like, and Swagger's dead.
Yeah, he Big E spear Swagger off the apron was one spot. He had a spear into the steps, it looked like, or he drove him into the steps. It was intense. Zeb at the beginning called Big E big enough.
Yep.
Yeah. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, this is...
couple of ankle lock counters, but the final one, Big E counter into an Enziguri, and then was able to hit the big ending to retain the Intercontinental Championship.
Uncle Zeb was not happy.
Zebby was not happy, no.
Yeah, Uncle Zeb was not happy, but this was a really nice, technically opening contest to the pay-per-view. It was very physical. It was a good follow-up to the tag match.
Better than I expected.
Definitely better than I expected. I would agree with that. They definitely went out there and put on a show for people. They have a little bit of a chemistry issue. They just don't quite mesh right. But they really tried their best to give a solid performance, and I have to applaud them for that.
Yeah, and Big E needs to stop busting open people.
Yeah, he does. He really, really, really does. This is getting a little excessive, just, pointing that out.
We then had some bad news. We had the Hogan teaser, a Daniel Bryan promo. Because I'm going through my notes, so I don't know exactly what Bryan's promo was. Basically, got the Yes Chant started.
Basically, Bryan, they were talking about Bryan not being 100%, and then we see, footage between Bryan and Kane, and Bryan basically said that, his mindset's the same, and whether he's 100% or not, he's gonna win, basically is what he said. And, there were Yes Chants going left, right, and center. That's basically it. But I actually want to rant on this, because there were a couple bad news Barrett spots, but I just want to get this out of the way.
Oh.
No. Bad phone. Don't play sound. Sorry.
Turn down the network.
I hit the wrong button. I'm sorry. It just started.
Anyway, continue.
Anyway. There was more than one appearance from Bad News Barrett, and there for a little bit, they were doing it after every match. And it's like, the first time it was funny. Second time, it's like, okay, alright. Third time, it's like, oh god, don't do this the whole pay-per-view. Please don't do this the whole pay-per-view. And they thought about it.
But the thingy stopped, the Barrett mobile stopped working.
The scissor lift died on him, and so, literally, he had to just kind of do it on the lowered scissor lift, and then I think they probably killed his segments for the rest of the night, because, the scissor lift just was dead.
Like, the guy had all fancy, had a nice little fancy logo on it now, and it just died.
So it was really funny. But, yeah, so it's like, that was one of my complaints about the pay-per-view, is okay, one or two Bad News Barrett spots throughout the show, okay, that's fine.
I have some bad news, and... one of them was funny, but that it sort of got old really quick.
Yeah, it really did.
This led to the after the Bryan promo led to tag team title match, the Usos challenging the New Age Outlaws.
Very good match.
I liked it.
The Outlaws were less funny and more aggressive in this, which you would expect them to be, and they were very much the Outlaws of old. Which, again, you would expect them to be. So, they definitely took the Usos to school, and they definitely taught them a few things.
Yes, they did. Road Dogg came up the apron, got distracted. Uso knocked him off the apron with a kick, and Billy hit the roll-up for the victory. New Age Outlaws retained the gold. Bad News Baron promo, and then we had Darren Young, Mr. No Days Off, King Kins, taking on Titus O'Neil. my notes say winner, Titus O'Neil.
This was just kind of there. I mean, they did fine, but there wasn't really any hype behind this one, so it was just, this was sort of the break match, unfortunately, and I hate saying that, but it's just, this was just okay.
it got every, it calmed you down because you're gonna need your ovaries in a second.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Titus won. Dana rematch on Main Event, which you can see replays on the WWE Network. With a Bad News Bear promo. But then it leads to the ovary-killing segment of the evening, the Wyatt family versus The Shield. Before the match could even start, this is awesome. This is awesome.
Yeah, this was the show stealer. This was the match of the night. Easily, hands down. The crowd was super into it. You could tell this was one of the ones they were waiting for. Like Rock said, they got a "This is awesome" chant before they even touched. They just got in the ring with each other.
Yeah.
And got the chant. We had a "Let's go Wyatt's, let's go Shield" chant.
Multiple times throughout the match.
Multiple times. "This is awesome" multiple times. Holy shit. At least once.
At least once. They brawled to open during this match. Seth Rollins was the star. Flat out saying it. Him, he was trying to steal the show, and he completely did. In the beginning of the match, Dean just like dives into the three of them. It's tremendous. But there was a spot Rollins came off the top rope off a German suplex, landed on his feet, took Harper out to the outside, dove onto him, threw him right back into the ring, and then his ninja knee laid him out. You had the big collision between Reigns and Reigns and Bray early on as well. They got that out of the way. A lot of stuff. Lots of chance.
Rowan and Roman.
Yeah, they brought a little bit too. There was like a spot where it was chased around the ring a little bit. Some of the high spots in the match include Luke Harper diving through the ropes. And not to be outdone, Rollins then said, you can do that? I'm going to flip.
Yeah, he did a ninja flip. Harper did the suicide dive through the ropes, which we got to see Wyatt fly. And then Seth immediately followed up with doing the ninja flip over the ropes. It's just like, good lord.
He's not, again, he was out to steal the show. No,
he just wasn't out to steal the show. All six of them
out
to steal the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Bray and Dean, they all started the brawl again. When Roman started taking control, Bray and Dean hooked up a little bit. Dean knocked Bray into the crowd. And then they started brawling throughout the crowd. And then Dean disappeared. Bray returned at some point.
Bray came back right before Seth went through the table. Bray came back. Dean was nowhere to be found. We were looking for Dean. We had posters up. We were putting his face on a milk carton when he came back. Because, yeah, it's like literally Bray Wyatt and Dean battle into the crowd and only Bray Wyatt comes back. It's like, oh, God, what did Bray do? And immediately everybody's like, he's dead. He's dead. Dean's dead. He's not coming back. He's gone. The Shield is just now two people. Because it's Bray Wyatt. You know, it's like, really? He's just going to, Dean's going to survive that?
Yeah, late that night or the next day, we saw pictures of Dean flat on his face somewhere in the arena.
Yeah, just knocked out on the arena floor. And that's where Bray left him.
Yeah,
Bray, honey, we need to talk about this. You just don't leave bodies,
You got to bury the bodies.
You gotta hide the bodies.
Well, that's what Harper and Rowan are for. They're the ones who probably bury them. Anyway.
Yeah, and they were a little busy.
They were a little busy.
Killing Seth,
and that's where we were headed. Bray came back to ringside, and they got focused. And they focused on Seth Rollins, because Roman was down, focused on Seth. And you had the two big boys climb up on the English announce table. Yes, English. And then double choke slam. Seth Rollins through the Spanish announce table.
Yeah. Which earned them the holy shit chant.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because the fans were actually chanting for tables, and by God, they got a table.
They got themselves a table. And yeah, they lifted him high in the air as well.
Yeah, he came down, and that was a sick-looking spot. And then you had the moment, really, of this match, because, not to say that there weren't many moments, but you have the moment in the match where Dean Ambrose is missing, Seth Rollins is laying flat on his back, out cold, and Roman Reigns is left on his own in the middle of the ring, and you have the Wyatt family climb up on the apron, Shield style, and surround Roman.
Yeah.
And the look on Roman's face was like, oh crap, here we go. And the Wyatts get in the ring, and to his credit, Roman tried to fight him off several times.
And he did get in control.
He did get in control. At one point, he actually stopped Bray from hitting the Sister Abigail.
And that's when Bray Wyatt's eyes popped out of his head.
Yeah, pretty much. Roman beat on Bray for a little bit before they finally took Roman down. And Bray picks up the victory with the Sister Abigail.
Yeah, Harper sacrificed himself for the spear and allowed Bray to cut off Reigns afterwards and hit the Sister Abigail for the win. The Wyatt family get the win.
This was nothing short of spectacular.
Tremendous. Loved it.
This was so good. It was worth... For those of you that don't know, I actually bought this pay-per-view, paid full price for this pay-per-view, bought it specifically for this match. Mm-hmm. And this match was worth every penny to see. And then some. I mean, they just went out there, and you could tell all six of them knew how big this was, knew how important this was, and they put everything on the line, and they stole the damn show.
Yes, they did. So the Wyatts get the victory. We had Christian talk. Then we had the Divas Championship surprise matchup. AJ talked about beating everyone, and out came Cameron. AJ mocked Cameron, which was tremendous, the highlight of the match, which are gifts of crazy on Tumblr. Tamina accidentally superkicked AJ. AJ almost lost the title, but Tamina pulled out Cameron, got AJ DQ'd, and AJ sort of wasn't happy with Tamina. So Cameron won by disqualification.
Yeah, so are they starting to tease the Tamina-AJ split? Maybe.
Maybe.
I guess we'll have to see.
Guess we will. So Cameron got the victory versus via disqualification. I believe there's a rematch on SmackDown?
Possibly, yeah. This is okay. I mean, it was something of they had poor AJ and Cameron had to follow the Wyatts and the Shield. Which, you know, they're going, crap.
Yeah.
You know, everybody after the Wyatts and the Shield's going, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is just okay. It was something of you're literally so spent from the match before that it's just like you don't remember a lot from it.
I just sat back in my chair. I was like, okay, I need to take a breath and just watch.
Yeah, it's like, and I'm spent.
Yeah. We had a toy teaser with Santina, Emma the Bull, Kali, and the Matadors. And then Batista and Del Rio. Del Rio came out with his crutch and his neck brace, said he can't wrestle, then attacks with the crutch. That's where the Batista chant debuted. Del Rio was dominant throughout. Batista made comebacks and then eventually used the exposed turnbuckle on Del Rio and hit the Batista bomb for the victory.
This is okay. It was missing something, but it was okay.
Wasn't the match I was more expecting Batista to dominate, and so far the two times they faced, Del Rio has been the dominant one, which is confusing. But yeah, he's still on. Nothing really horrible to say.
Yeah, it's just this started out with a lot of heat and a lot of intensity. It's just kind of fizzling at this point, which is disappointing. So, but the match was fine.
Match was fine. Then we move to our main event: WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Randy Orton, John Cena, Daniel Bryan, Cesaro, Christian, and Sheamus.
Poor Sheamus. He was so done by the end of this.
Yeah, he was. By the time he was eliminated, since he was... Anyway, we'll get to that. So Sheamus and Cesaro started the chamber off. They brawled a little bit and had a nice back and forth. Daniel Bryan came out, had a nice pinning submission combo with Bryan on Sheamus and Cesaro. Christian came out. This is where things finally sort of picked up a little bit as they got a little bit more physical. Christian took a powerbomb into the pod, followed by a nice uppercut. There's one point where Cesaro smashed Bryan right into a pod, which is like, ow.
Mm-hmm.
John Cena came out next, gave Christian the AA into Cesaro. There's a kill switch at one point, led to a two count. Cesaro goes for a giant swing to Christian, but Cena hit a cross body, and Christian sort of did a slingshot into the corner, which I thought was a really nice spot. But then we get to the night, the spot of the night where Orton comes out of his pod. He starts dominating, and then, well, tides turn. Everyone's looking at him. And what does Randy Orton do? He runs back into his pod.
Yep. And everybody forgets about him except for Sheamus, who's literally standing there with his face pressed to the Luxor, ready to eat Orton. Orton is teasing Sheamus. Sheamus almost looks like he's going to give up, and then he just literally kicks the plastic in and boots Orton in the face.
Now, before he did that, the fans were chanting, "Pussy, pussy, pussy," at Randy Orton.
Yeah. Like, but that was just impressive. I mean, like, literally, Sheamus just full-on kicked.
Yeah.
That, which I'm sure it's not hard to do, but good God.
Man has a big foot.
The man has a big foot. Like, he wanted Randy Orton, he wanted him bad, and it's like, it did enough damage that Sheamus just basically drug him out and beat the crap out of him.
Mm-hmm. We then had a giant swing to Randy Orton. Supposedly 30 times, but not quite sure it was 30, because the fans really couldn't count. Then Christian starts... You know, he escaped the Irish cross, I think it was called. Again, I didn't remember what it was called. But he escaped a move, crawled up the top of the... climbed up the chamber, the pod, and was like, oh crap, Christian's gonna die. But instead, Sheamus started to climb up, but I believe it was Orton took him off with a superplex, so Sheamus was down. Christian came off the top of the pod, hit a big splash, and eliminated Sheamus from the match.
Christian tried to kill himself in this match.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
But yeah, so you have Sheamus eliminated, which brings you down to 5.
This does bring you down to 5. We had a running knee by Daniel Bryan to eliminate Christian. Simple and effective. We were down to Final Four. You had everyone staring down each other. Cena brawled with Cesaro, Bryan brawled with Orton, and then it led to Cena and Bryan having a stare down. They fought a little bit. There was a nice spot where Cesaro hit a German suplex on Daniel on John Cena with Daniel Bryan on Cena's shoulders, which is really nice. Cena hit an AA to Cesaro and drug him back in the ring and hit an STF, and again, it was the politest tap out ever for Cesaro. It's like, yeah, I tapped. Alright.
Yeah.
So Cesaro was eliminated, so we're down to our final 3. John Cena, Daniel Bryan, and Randall Orton. John Cena is about to hit the STF all on Orton, and then out came the Wyatts.
Yeah, here, you get the screeching noise, the lights are out, everybody's screaming, where the hell are they? The lights come up, and there's Bray Wyatt and the boys standing in the chamber, looking at Cena and looking at Bryan while Orton is laying flat on his face. Bryan immediately goes for the Wyatt family. They pretty much take him out, and then they go after John Cena and beat the crap out of Cena and allow Orton to eliminate John Cena with an RKO.
I don't even think it was an RKO.
I think he just pinned him.
He just pinned him. Or Wyatt hit the Sister Abigail. So he was down for down for a good, and Orton just slid in like a snake and pinned John Cena.
Which we got a thank you Wyatt's chant.
And then, to check on John Cena, Kane came out.
Yes, and we got the follow-up where Kane, you know, basically told Bray Wyatt to get the hell out of there, and Bray Wyatt just turned around and bent backwards and laughed at him and was like, bitch, please.
Pretty much. They had a nice conversation, so Kane was checking on John Cena. Daniel Bryan came off the top with a knee to Kane, so, well, you don't angry a giant, and then turn to Daniel Bryan did. Orton and Bryan then had a couple of nice exchanges, and Bryan eventually hit the right knee to Orton for a long two count when Kane pulled the referee out of the ring. We then had Orton hit an RKO two count. Bryan then started, you know, Rainer, it's like, what? And he was about to, you know, go for it again. Bryan then gets a full head of steam and was about to take control when Mr. Corporate, Mr. Kane, hit Bryan with a nice slap across the face, leading to another RKO. This time, it was a three count. Randy Orton is still your WWE champion.
I will say this. I'm one of the very few people that like the finish.
I love the finish.
It was very expected, which I know a lot of people are complaining about, but they did a nice job with it.
CM Punk! CM Punk!
Oh, we're going to rant on that in a minute. But I like the finish. I like the way that they did it. You know, it was expected.
Uh-huh.
But that's fine, because it's like, at this point in the year already, they have 6 weeks to Mania. They have a plan for Mania. And the plan is Randy Orton versus Batista. We all know that. If Bryan gets thrown into that match, Bryan gets thrown in, but it looks like that's not going to happen. So it's something of, at least not right now, so it's something of, they have a plan. It doesn't make sense to take the belt off of Orton before Mania. It just doesn't. So it's like, you know Randy Orton's going to win. You know Daniel Bryan's going to get screwed. You're pretty sure Cena's going to get screwed. It's just how they do it. And they did a really nice job with the setup of, you have the Wyatts come out and screw John Cena. They get in the cage. And then, once the Wyatts screw Cena, you have Kane doing his corporate duty, in quotations, and coming out to check on Cena and make sure Cena is okay. And you have Bryan lose his temper, and he goes after Kane. Which, if Kane is provoked, Kane can attack.
Correct.
So there's no... So, technically, the authority is absolved.
Correct.
Because, like it or not, in the case of the Wyatts and the case of Kane, Daniel Bryan threw the first punch and provoked both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just pointing that out. Not to place blame on Bryan, but I am. You know, it's something of... And I like that. That it's, you know, it's not necessarily that the authority screwed Bryan or the Wyatts screwed Bryan. They had a part in it. But Bryan really kind of screwed himself.
Correct.
Because it's something of, if he never touched Kane, or he never touched the Wyatts, he probably would have been left alone. Or there would have been other consequences.
But he stuck his, you know, he was, you know, he thought people were coming for him, so... Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, overall, I really enjoyed the pay-per-view. I liked it a lot. I'm one of the very few people that will say that. And that's just because, again, I enjoyed the majority of the matches. There were a couple I didn't like. You know, Del Rio and Batista wasn't as good as I would have liked to have been. The Divas match was just kind of there. It was kind of awkwardly placed, but I get why it was placed there. Mm-hmm. You know, but I enjoyed the hell out of the Shield and the Wyatts. I enjoyed the Chamber. The tag matches were very well done. The Big E Swagger match was very well done. And, you know, Titus and Darren were just kind of there. So, you know, overall, it was a good transition pay-per-view in between Rumble and Mania. They set a lot of things up at Chamber, which was expected, and then they walked into Raw Monday night, and they kicked off all your storylines.
Correct.
So, overall, I enjoyed it. What about you?
I enjoyed the pay-per-view. Sunday, I enjoyed the pay-per-view. I graded a B to B a B to a B plus. Everything I wanted to see delivered. I don't give out A's often because the full card has to blow me away. But the two matches that I came in expecting to draw my attention really, really well did.
Yeah. The two hype matches, which were Chamber and the Shield versus the Wyatts, delivered. And those were the two main matches that got pushed. And everything else was just kind of sort of built around those matches. So yeah, I would give it a B. You know, a solid B. I found the two matches that I wanted to see very enjoyable. And there were other matches that surprised me and that I liked. And, you know, there were other matches I was a little disappointed in. But overall, I thoroughly enjoyed the pay-per-view. But that's just me.
I did it too.
So, do we want to rant a little bit?
It's your show. I'm just following your lead.
So, I kind of want to rant on this because this kind of pissed me off. And I ranted a little bit about it on Tumblr. And it stems from CM Punk. And it really stems from all the CM Punk chants. Because there's a tweet going around that basically says that, you know, everybody's trying to incite a riot.
It's not a tweet. There's a Twitter.
Oh, it's an actual Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an actual Twitter account that's basically inciting a riot at Raw in Chicago on Monday, where basically everybody just chants for CM Punk and a little bit of Daniel Bryan when he's out there, and that's it. And, you know, honestly, I take issue with that because I find that really, really, really grossly disrespectful. If you know, to me, it's like if you want to chant for Punk, chant for Punk. Do it because you want to. Do it because you like it, his work. But most importantly, do it while he's there. Do it when he can hear you.
All right, I want to cut you off really quickly.
Okay.
Where were these chants 3 months ago when he was wrestling? You all weren't chanting CM Punk, CM Punk, CM Punk throughout the night when he was on the show. If you really wanted to get people's attention, that's when you would do it. Okay?
Yeah. You know, as it stands right now, Punk isn't hearing these chants because you know he's not keeping up with the product. I'm sure people are telling him, but he's not directly hearing them because he's probably not watching the TV product. But it's like, it's grossly disrespectful to everybody else that's still there, because this is my biggest qualm with CM Punk and the whole situation. Not that I have any personal beef with CM Punk, but it's basically, CM Punk walked out. He left. He quit. He had 6 months worth of contractual obligations that he did not meet, and he left everybody in the lurch because of it. Does he have the right to be unhappy? Yes. Could the matter have been handled in a better method? Yes. Absolutely. I don't think him walking out was the right thing to do. But that's just me, and that's my personal opinion on it. He feels justified, and if he feels justified, then that's good enough for me. But it's something of everybody is acting like CM Punk got fired. That WWE, maliciously pushed Punk out the door and is laughing that Punk is gone. And that's not true. Vince McMahon wants Punk back. Seriously wants Punk back and is trying to do everything he can to get Punk to come back. But according to everything I've ever heard, Punk is ignoring everyone. He's not talking to really anybody, including the WWE. So it's something of, you can sit there and chant for CM Punk until the cows come home. That's not going to make him come back. WWE cannot force anybody to be on their TV. They can't. So something of, if Punk doesn't want to be on TV, whether he's under contract or not, he's not going to be on TV, and WWE has no say in it. Because they can try to legally force him to appear on TV while he's still under contract, but by the time that gets through the court system, his contract will have expired. And that's the thing. It's just like they're trying to handle this in the best method they know how, so they're not trying to bring in lawyers. They're not trying to take this to the courts. They don't want to have this cost them any more money and throw any more egg on their face than it already has. but it's something of there's nothing that they can really do at this point. So it's like literally you're chanting for CM Punk, and WWE can't give you CM Punk. At least by all accounts. They cannot give you CM Punk. So it's just like, you know what? If you want to chant for him, fine. Chant for him because you like him. But do it where he can hear you. Do it where he can see you. You know what? Go to his house out in Chicago and chant for him outside his house.
Someone wrote what I posted. Sweet.
So it's...
yeah.
I mean, you know, honestly, it's inciting a riot and disrespecting the other talent that are there to give you a good show, to give you a good performance. I don't agree with that at all. I really don't. You know what? You wanna make a difference? Chant for the people who are there. Chant for Daniel Bryan. Chant for the Wyatt family. Chant for the Shield. Chant for Dolph Ziggler. Chant for Zack Ryder. Chant for the people that are going to be on the show that they're trying to make an impact. Don't chant for somebody that's not there.
I'm going to phrase this like this, and I think this will be a good wrapping point on it. I wrote this as it's a one brain thing today, like most days, but this was very clear. Like, she ran in one place, I ran in the other at the exact same time, not knowing the other was ranting. It was tremendous.
It was awesome.
My closing line was this. I'm a wrestling fan who is trying to enjoy his wrestling show every Monday night. Don't ruin my fun because you think it's going to be cool to do something for a guy who left you.
Yeah. And honestly, I'm kind of waiting at this point for the fan base to turn on CM Punk. I don't think that'll ever happen, but that's what I'm kind of starting to wait on. And I believe if this isn't a work, and if Punk does not return on Monday, which I suspect he's not going to do, because at this point they're giving Brian Punk's spot, so that's kind of clear that Punk is probably not coming back.
Correct.
I'm going to be very curious to see what the crowd does and who they blame when CM Punk does not show up at Raw.
World Wrestling Entertainment.
But again, it's something of they can't give you someone that doesn't want to be there.
Correct.
They can't. That's life. You know, they can try, like I said, they can try to bring him back all they want. If Punk doesn't want to come back, he's not going to come back. And that's just the end of it. And from everything I've heard, he's done. Mm-hmm. He's just over it and he's done and he doesn't care anymore. So it's like, you know, why not sit at home for 6 months and wait for my contract to expire?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're going to pay me either way.
Exactly.
So that's just kind of my take on it, and that kind of irritated me, because it's like, it's the other thing, the other side of it is, you know, the IWC as a whole does stuff like this, and then they complain and they wonder why WWE and TNA and companies like that don't listen to them and don't take them seriously. It's like, well, if you didn't act like a bunch of jerks, they might pay a little bit more attention.
A little bit.
Just a little bit. But, again, this is all my personal opinions, and they are neither condoned nor anything else by the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yes, they are.
Well, fine. So...
I condone them, and, you know, if that matters.
Yeah, that works.
Because they're my opinions as well. So, anyway.
So, anyway, let's wrap this up, and you got stuff to plug.
I do have stuff to plug. Do you remember this theme? Anyway, tomorrow night, not tomorrow night, Saturday night, midnight editions, the weird, the wacky, it's the unusual. It is CB Radio, join myself, Rob Parks, Subway, and Ace, as we cover all the weird news we can possibly think of. Sunday night is WTR, Sunday night, live at 10 p.m. Eastern. I believe, once again, Tim Stein is on assignment. So, check out Mason Omega and myself for WTR, Sunday night. I don't know if Tim's on the show or not. I'm just saying he's on assignment. I believe he's on assignment.
To be announced.
To be announced. If he's there, 10, he's there. He hasn't told me one way or the other, but I would assume he's on assignment. Monday night is the Raw Post at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We will be back next Thursday night, live at 11 p.m. Eastern. And we will be bringing you two things. Well, two, three things. A bunch of stuff. mainly number one, we'll be talking to the other half of Bad Influence, the best tag team in the biz, I guess, Frankie Kazarian. We'll also be talking to A Double Austin Aries.
The greatest man that ever lived.
If you want to check it out, we'll be previewing Lockdown next week as well. You can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, at WTRD_RAC. You can follow us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, Facebook.com/WTRTheRAC. Thanks to Mark Kruskal for hooking us up. Thanks to TNA Wrestling for providing us with Christopher Daniels and the guest I mentioned a moment ago. And Mark Kruskal is awesome. That's where I got
to find. We love you, Mark.
He is awesome. He's been very helpful with this show throughout many, many times. He's an awesome PR man. If you need someone to represent you, he is the man to do it. MJKPR on Twitter. That's MJKPR on Twitter.
Yes. Is it my turn?
It's your turn.
Alright, well, you can follow me on Twitter at Lynn's Ward, LANSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. On my website, as we mentioned earlier, if you click the Contact Us section of my little menu thingy, there's a link to my Redbubble store if you like my artwork. If you'd like to buy my artwork, including the Bo Leaf shirt for Bo Dallas, it is available for sale on Redbubble.com in multiple colors, as well as stickers and posters and everything else. So go check that out. If you just want to view my artwork, pretty much my full portfolio, at least for the last 2 years, is available on Mahance.net/Lynn's Ward, including the rumors piece featuring The Undertaker. I will be tweeting out Mucha Lucha Undertaker on Monday, just so everybody knows, so get ready to retweet that. And of course, listen to the Rack every Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern, visit RackRadioShow.com. Visit WildTalkRadio.com, listen to all the other fine programming on this network, because we all work very hard. And, of course, visit our fine sponsors, PWMania.com for all your news needs, TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans, and, of course, Memorabilia Lane, MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. But I'm tired. I'm pretty sure Rock is spent. So we're going to get out of here. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye.